This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Monday. And the anticipation came and went. Happy Father's Day, belated, to all the dads out there. Love you, Dad. That's from old school. Frank the Tank. Frank's dad's here. I haven't seen him in years. Cheers. Love you, Dad.
You are eerily similar to Will Ferrell sometimes, man.
What?
Yeah.
Jim Tilth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you, kicking off your week, which will be a big, big week. And it started on the weekend and I guess on Saturday when news broke from Elliot Friedman. Is the first place I saw, gentlemen, that Toby Enstrom has waived his no-move clause, doing the Jets a big favor. In fact, his agent saying he's doing the Jets a big favor, but does not want to go to Las Vegas. Before we get into that, how was the weekend?
Weekend was pretty good. Young Full in another tournament. Lots of fun with soccer. Went and saw Cars 3. It wasn't that bad. What else? A lot of stars. A lot of neat appearances by some old racers. The voices you recognize right away. Yeah, it was a good weekend, man. The weather. What's the deal with the weather, though? I'm like, let's get out of this cold, dreary sort of funk crap.
Supposed to rain most of the week.
Sucks. Oh, good. Good.
You, Brandon?
Yeah, I was all right. Nothing too crazy.
Did you need bail money at any point?
No. No, I got some sources anyways down there at the precinct. But
oh, interesting. So much to get to. The expansion list came out. It was delayed half an hour. I'd like to go off on that, but I won't. Maybe I will if I have time. Boss Pete's fan line will be open. Blue Bomber cuts on the weekend. They are down to their list of whom they will enter the season with so far. We'll delve into that. The U.S. Open. Brooke Henderson, of course, doing Canada proud once again, winning on the LPGA Tour. Ian Mendez is going to join us. Chris Schultz, Brian Wacker, Craig Button, and your phone calls. And let's get back into it right away. Toby Enstrom, 3 weeks ago, signed off on his no-move clause in his contract and I guess was asked about 3 weeks after the season or a couple weeks after locker cleanout day that he would, and then he signed off on it 3 weeks ago. Your thoughts on that and what he's done for the Jets here and if he goes to Vegas?
Yeah, I'm not overly surprised by it, and oh, great, he's doing a big, huge favor for the Jets here, but I know it's being painted like that, and that's great and stuff, but I suppose ultimately it's going to be interesting to see whether or not they take him, whether or not Vegas takes him. It's going to be, I think it's maybe, I don't know if it's quite a coin flip, but it might be about a 50-50 sort of a situation for them. Listening and interesting, we talked to Craig Button later today. I don't know if he meant to or if I just misinterpreted what he said, but he said, hey, if Vegas takes a guy like Enstrom and then trade him before the deadline next year, say Martin Hens has got a first round pick. So I don't know if he's comparing that, like what Toby could bring to Vegas if he takes him and then they move him a little bit later on. But it'll be real interesting to see what happens here going forward. And, of course, like publicly – I just don't put much weight into what agents and players say publicly when they're asked situations where there's only one way to answer the question as far as where you want to be or how much you love being here and all the rest. I just don't put a lot of stock in it. But nonetheless, this is fantastic where it allows the Jets to go 7-3-1. And maybe there's a backdoor deal here so that Vegas doesn't even touch Toby. We don't know that.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the fallout of this is, if you're the Jets and if you're Cheveldayoff, do you throw in a pick or a prospect or like what asset would you be willing to give Vegas for them not to take Toby and maybe to steer them more towards Marco Dano? I know Craig Button says he thinks Vegas would be a good fit for Toby, but I'm still not sold that they wouldn't take Marco Dano over Toby Enstrom regardless, just because they'll have their fair share of defensemen to choose from throughout the NHL. And there's some pretty decent ones for them to take. And I wonder if they'd be better off with how few skilled forwards there are taking a chance on a guy like Marco Dano. So personally, I don't know if I would give up a pick or anything to make sure Vegas doesn't take Toby Enstrom, because I get a feeling that George McPhee might lean towards Marco Dano regardless. And you can save yourself the trouble and losing an asset for nothing.
Well, the risk is, and this is what, I'll read the statement from the agent Elliot Friedman had. Enstrom has waived his no move as a favor to the Jets organization. He loves Winnipeg and the Jets and wants to stay. He thinks the Jets has a bright future and wants to be a part of the future success. Enstrom absolutely doesn't want to go to Vegas. So to me, this screams of putting pressure back on the organization of, do not let this happen. So, I mean, to me, there's two questions here. Do you think Toby Enstrom would end up in Vegas? I agree with Troy. It's 50. I think it's higher than 50-50. I think what Craig Button said about the fact that you're bringing in a veteran D-man who's got an expiring contract and would help your team immediately but also be an asset. I look at the Jets and I think, can you afford to lose a left-handed D-man, a veteran? Probably not. Not, I would say. Not probably. And then also, why not use that asset yourself for something that you could potentially get? I think this is setting up, and this is my personal opinion, to send something to Vegas to not take Toby. What that is, I don't know. And if I'm George McPhee, I don't even smell Marco Dano as far as the Jets are concerned. I get on the phone and go, Chevy, this is what I'm doing. What's he worth to you? And then let me know. Like, I go all the way. I'm taking Enstrom. Sorry, I know he doesn't want to come. And I think the statement from the agent emphasizes that itself. I think the statement is George McPhee goes, he obviously doesn't want to come. Chevy might call back and say, look, he doesn't want to go there, and you're only going to end up having to get some compensation because he's not reporting anyway.
Oh, he's going to report. Are you kidding me? For $6 million.
Yeah, you're leaving $6 million on the table.
Come on. It's not going from...
If he doesn't report, are you going to let him sit there and do nothing if you're Vegas?
There is zero chance he doesn't report, JT. Come on. It's not going to Siberia.
I don't know. What's the point of the statement then?
I don't know. The feel-good things in Winnipeg just to, you know, managing the situation publicly, but to even insinuate to any degree whatsoever that he might not report.
Well, I'm looking at all angles here, and the statement says he absolutely does not want to go to Vegas. So if Vegas picks him, is that pressure on Vegas to deal him then?
I don't think so.
Like, you're already saying, I don't want to go there.
Well, that's their public statement. So I suppose it just depends on how much truth... And you want to attach onto a public statement, right? Where typically players and agents will manage the situation with the city that they're in to make it best for them. It's a smart thing to do, right?
So I think Chevy has to send them something to keep Toby Enstrom if he wants to keep him.
Yeah, and agreed. That's what we talked about last week, it playing out like that. So whatever that ends up being. But there is poker involved. There is a poker game here, like what Wicks is talking about. If ultimately McPhee was going to grab Dano and Helmut, like he's doing this to every team out there pretty much, right? Playing, it's almost like a Russian roulette type of game or poker or whatever thing. Because now when you're talking about, well, you don't know what the Golden Knights' intentions are, and you can basically throw away a pick here because they don't have intention on coming after the guy that you're concerned about protecting. So it's a pretty neat thing that way. This is poker.
Yeah, like McPhee could look at the Jets and go, I want to take Marco Dano over Toby Enstrom, but I'm not telling Chevy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm saying, Chevy, I know you want to keep your D is a little low on the left side. What's it going to take for you to keep me from picking Enstrom? Like that part of it is really fascinating, and we'll really never know, right? Like it could come out that the Jets give up whatever pick, and Marco Dano did not take Toby Enstrom, but we won't know the behind the scenes dealings of George McPhee and what his true intentions kind of were in the first place. But I'll tell you what, I don't know how good Vegas' team is going to be right out of the gate, but the fact that they are likely to walk away from this expansion draft with probably four other first-round picks that aren't their own, I mean, that's, even if you don't make the playoffs this year, to have that amount of assets as an expansion team is just, I mean, you can't really put a price on that.
So this is the Big Show on TSN 1290, and we'll get into the expansion draft and the list itself and what directions Vegas might go come Wednesday when they do make their selections. But what would you pay to keep Toby Enstrom if you're the Jets? If it did come down to that, saying, Chevy, I got enough forwards, I got enough Marco Danos, I'm looking right at Toby Enstrom, I understand you're weak on the left side, I'm also building for the future, like I can grab some other D-men, what would you be willing to give to keep him?
I think you can't answer that question until you answer, are the Jets planning to re-sign Toby Enstrom? Because right? that adds or takes away from his value to you. If you're not planning on re-signing him, then you're talking about a guy who's going to be there for the next year. And what are you willing? I don't know. I'd be completely guessing. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a second or third round type of a pick. If they're intent on keeping him here, and ultimately though still pursuing that top four right, that top four left hand D, and then keeping Toby for the strength of the overall aspect of the blue line and in a 5-6 role possibly. So I would just guess a second or third round pick, but I'm not quite sure.
Would you pay a first?
No.
No chance.
I was gonna say a first would be insanity for Toby Enstrom. It's too much. Even a second.
Would you pay a second?
A second, I don't think I would, personally. A third, I'd be totally okay with. For me, a second, I mean, that's still decent value, right? Like, you're getting a probable NHLer at that point. So, I don't know. Like, would a third and Marco Dano be enough to keep Vegas from taking Enstrom? I think it should. I think it would, because it's not like Dano's some scrub. Like, you're getting a 22-year-old forward who's shown that he can score at a okay clip in the NHL, but I don't know. I don't think I would do it for a second,
but a third you would.
Yeah,
Troy, would you give him a third?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm exactly there with Wicks, where the second I'm kind of meh, and a third, yeah, I'd give him a third.
So what happens if he wants a first then? I would go
There's
third
no
for
then.
Sure. I would go second. If he asks for a first and you say no and Toby Enstrom gets selected, where do you go from there coming this offseason?
Well, then you have to be that much more, then it's that much more important that you get a top four left-hand D guy. That's it. You just have to go get one.
And what are the likelihood of that? What are the likelihood of signing a free agent? Or what's it going to... My point to this is the cost of doing business this summer is what? So if you don't want to give up a first, and I agree, but I would give up a second, no problem, to keep a left-handed D like Toby Enstrom for this season. If you don't get it, what in a trade is going to cost you anyway? Is it going to be a second-round pick and some more players, so you're losing Dano and you got to ship more guys out to replace Enstrom? Like that, you know what I'm saying with the market. If you think you can go down and sit down and grab a top four left-handed free agent D-man, which it's been proven year after year, it's hard to get free agents to come to Winnipeg. If you look at the free agent pool of left-handed D, or if you look at the trades, it's probably going to cost you a second or third round pick anyway and some more players.
When you're talking a free agent left-handed D, we're not talking, well, you can go get free agent or trade for left-handed D, right? Like one or the other, you're saying?
Yeah, if the likelihood in my mind of you signing a top four left-handed D-man in this city to come to Winnipeg, if they have other options, isn't very high. So then you have to look at a trade, which we've talked about throughout this season, to get a left-handed D. Is that not going to cost you probably a second-round pick, probably some more players to get anyway? So now you're losing Toby Enstrom. If Vegas wants a second-round pick, you're losing Toby Enstrom. You're probably sending out a pick anyway and probably another player or two. So now you've lost Enstrom and two to three more assets to replace him.
Yeah, I think you can pick up a left-handed D if you overpay a little bit. Like, there's just guys out there you can go pursue, man, or in a trade, like one or the other. This is why Chevy gets paid the big bucks. You go get somebody through free agency or work a trade, and you got all kinds of pieces up front to go work a trade, and there are guys out there available on the open market. So I wouldn't start freaking out, dishing out like what you're talking about here. You have options that are available to you.
I don't see those options very high.
Well, I mean, there's no reason that they can't trade their first round pick for a real solid left-handed defenseman, like a real good top four, and that takes the whole free agency thing right out of the equation at that point. And then you sign a guy, I don't know, a couple weeks into free agency who, you know, wasn't able to find the deal and the fit he wanted, and you kind of solve your problems right then and there.
I'm just looking at free agent D-men right now.
It's not a great list.
It's not a great list at all.
You don't want to be getting your top four defensemen from free agency regardless. That's going to have to be a trade.
And that's going to cost you a lot of money. So it's going to have to be a trade. So now you're potentially losing Toby Enstrom. And what's a top four left-handed D cost you in a trade? Two to three assets?
First round pick?
And then you're in the same boat depth-wise.
Well, yeah, you're same boat depth-wise, but assuming there's all kinds of injuries, and keep Mark Stewart off the left side in your third pair, you'll be okay. They got guys that can be decent on the left side, simplified game.
Interesting. We'll find out what you think as well. We'll talk more expansion draft when we come back to the Big Show. TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to be a media sponsor for MTS Super Spike July 21st and 22nd at Maple Grove Rugby Park. Registration is now open and event tickets for non-participants are on sale now. Taking the stage this year is multi-award winning Sam Roberts Band. Proceeds from this event will be supporting Kids Sport and True North Youth Foundation. More information is online at tsn1290.ca. The Big Show, Jim, Troy, and Brandon. 23 minutes past the opening hour discussing the NHL expansion draft. We'll get into the Blue Bombers cuts, U.S. Open, Brooke Henderson as well. Lots to come today on the Big Show. So back to the expansion draft and the list that came out yesterday at 9 a.m. Any surprises? Are you surprised by any of the names on the lists?
Well, yeah, there's a couple surprises for sure here. Maybe the most was the young fella, 30 goals, or coming off a career season in Florida, 30 goals, 21 assists, that Marchessault, like that's what, I need that one explained to me. I don't get that at all, how, like, you really wonder behind the scenes there, what's going on with that situation. Outside of that, I don't know if I was taken aback by anything, but so a surprise, that's the only one real true surprise that stood out for me. But I tell you, seeing Antti Raanta out there, guys, I wonder if the Rangers have got something behind the scenes to keep him there because of how old Henry is and just some of the numbers. Like Ranta's numbers are just so spectacular. Boy, I would love to see. You wonder what the plans are there for Vegas, and if they're not absolutely dedicated to going after him, I'd sure love to see the Jets be wildly aggressive and going to get him.
Yeah. Like, there's a few teams where you look at what they did and you can kind of just smell first-round pick going the other way. Like Minnesota, like there's no way Minnesota loses Matt Dumba. Like, zero. Unless George McPhee takes more than a first-round pick.
I don't know. He's been a healthy scratch in his time there.
He played over 20 minutes last year.
I don't know if the organization, not Bruce Boudreau, is so high on him.
Well,
but fair point. I'm with you. I don't know if you can just lose that for free either.
There's not a lot of healthy scratches, like 81 games and 76 this year and averaging 20-20 this year. So I don't know how.
He was a healthy scratch year previous.
Well, he played 81 games the year previous.
Let me see here. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, regardless, I don't think they're going to lose. Whether they're hiring him or not, they're not going to lose the asset that's Matt Dumba for Zippo. I was really surprised by what the Islanders did, doing the five defensemen and three forwards. And it looks like that's another team that's going to give up a first-round pick there. But not only that, but they kept five defensemen and still didn't keep Calvin DeHaan, which is perplexing.
Well, and they've already said that they are sending a first-round pick.
Yeah, there you go. So. But it's just interesting that they're going to, like, I would assume a first-round pick and Calvin DeHaan is going to be gone, which I just don't really understand that line of thinking. Like, if you're going to lose, if the plan was to lose Calvin DeHaan at that point, why wouldn't you just go 4-4 and you probably don't have to give up a first round pick? It was just, I didn't really understand the line of reasoning that the Islanders went through there.
Yeah. There's a couple things that it's so interesting to me. I mean, James Neal I get too, but I wouldn't. Would you want to lose James Neal? And then reports are already out that, you know, David Poile will do some negotiating with George McPhee. And the other thing that stands out to me is just looking at the salaries and the contracts. Like, if you don't pick up the James Neals, so you agree to a pick, and then you go elsewhere and you don't agree to, you don't want Bobby Ryan and stuff, it's going to be tough to, that's what I was watching yesterday. It'll be tough to make the floor. If you're taking, like, Marco Danos and you're taking picks to not take Toby Enstrom, if you're taking picks not to take James Neal and his contract, and you're not taking Bobby Ryan and you're not getting the Dion Phaneufs and you're taking Marco Danos and guys like that, it's going to be tough to make the floor in Vegas.
Well, I'm sure they'll take care of it, though, right? So it's not like they'll fail the floor. They'll take care of that.
It'll be interesting for sure. We'll continue to talk on this and get into it around the league also, and get your phone calls as well on Toby Enstrom and the move he made, and whether you think they should pay or not to see him go or to keep him. But up next, we'll talk the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They did make their cuts on Saturday. That's coming up on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to be a media sponsor of the 2017 Canada Summer Games from July 28th to August 13th. All eyes will be on Winnipeg as thousands of athletes from across Canada come to compete. This is the country's largest multi-sport and cultural event for young athletes. 16 sports and over 250 events. The 50th anniversary of the Canada Summer Games will welcome over 20,000 visitors. Help paint the town red, yellow, and orange every Friday until July 21st. Wear your official 2017 Canada Summer Games clothing. Take a picture of yourself and share a photo using the handle at 2017 Canada Games and the hashtag GearUp for a chance to win a Via Rail promotional travel credit. Visit canadagames.ca/2017 for more information about Game Gear Fridays. And the entertainment lineups for the opening and closing ceremonies are already announced, and you can check those out at canadagames.ca as well, 2017 canadagames.ca or tsn1290.ca. Opening ceremonies Friday, July 28th at MTS Center or the new Bell Center Place. And the closing ceremonies are at IGF on August 13th. Just to finish up on this with Matthew Dumba, he was a healthy scratch in game 82 of not this past season, but the year prior. And his quote at the time was, "I'm such a competitor, it pissed me off. I want to play, but I'll support my teammates." I do think that he's under much higher value than to Bruce Boudreaux than Mike Yeo, though. I remember Mike Yeo having some issues with Matt Dumba. To the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, gentlemen, and cut down day came on Saturday. Number of players, there is a list, of course, up for you at tsn1290.ca and, of course, bluebombers.com as well. Notables include TJ Thorpe, who was put on the practice roster, I believe will be national kicker and draft pick Felix Menard-Briere, who will be going back to school, and a receiver, Kenny Stafford. Kenny Stafford has been cut, whom they signed. He's now on his fourth team. He's going back to Edmonton now, been put on their practice roster. What are your thoughts on the cuts?
And nothing's, the Kenny Stafford one's a surprising one for sure, though. And so it sure makes you think about attitude and approach to getting ready and performing at a high level, huh? Because the guy's got sick talent. There's no question about that. So something's going on with Kenny Stafford that Kenny Stafford needs to deal with. But outside of that, there's nothing that really jumps off. They're obviously pretty high on the possibility of what TJ Thorpe can bring to the table. So that'll be neat to see whatever develops with him. And no surprise whatsoever, of course, with Menard-Briere going on PR and going back to school eventually here. So not a single one outside of the Kenny Stafford. That's something's wrong with Kenny Stafford. And if it's attitude, personality, which I'm completely leaning towards, I hope he gets it worked out for his own sake.
Yeah, not a whole lot of surprises as well. And it kind of points to how well the Bombers have done with kind of unearthing some of these wide receiver gems from down south, where you can kind of afford to lose a guy like Kenny Stafford. When we saw LaDainian Washington in the final preseason game make a heck of a catch on a deep ball from Dom Davis. So, I mean, the Bombers should be just fine. And you just, the other thing you kind of hope for and was good to see is, you know, TJ Thorpe still being on the practice roster, and you just hope the injury doesn't keep him out for too long, because he seems like a guy the Bombers kind of have penciled into their starting rotation, just if he can stay on the field for a bit.
Defensive end Shaun Green, I believe is how you say it, and receiver Gerard Shepard both saw game action last year. They were cut to two 2017 CFL draft picks in defensive tackle Ian Marouf and receiver Brendan Thera Plamodin.
Sure.
Well, yeah, sorry. Sorry to them. 2016 draft selections, Zachary Inzanst and offensive lineman and defensive tackle Rupert Butcher were also let go as well. So a couple draft picks, a couple Canadians. Kenny Stafford tweeted out, "Football is a game of ups and downs. Just got released. Thank you, Winnipeg, for the love and the support." The quarterbacks, Matt Nichols, Dom Davis, Dan Lefevre, running backs, Andrew Harris, Timothy Flanders, could go on and on. Christoph Normand and Mike Miller are your fullbacks. The receiving core is interesting because of the cutting of Stafford. The starters look to be Darvin Adams, Julian Fioli-Godino, Weston Dressler, Clarence Denmark. So Clarence Denmark actually not only earns himself a spot now and probably should have for a couple of times, but he's the guy who basically knocks out Kenny Stafford. And I know there are the reserves, but Kenny Stafford was brought in to be a starter. That's fair to say. Clarence Denmark is one of the guys that beat him out.
And it's important to remember the Clarence Denmark, that the history doesn't get twisted here. He wanted a bunch more money. That's why he didn't re-sign in Winnipeg in the first place. And that's probably what got him cut in Saskatchewan when they were making their final decisions as well. But it's great that he's back. He's as dependable as you get. Fantastic route runner. And he'll continue to have a fantastic season upcoming. There's no question about that.
O-lineman Kadar Spooner is kept on the practice roster. Westerman, Patrick Scott, all of the defensive linemen. Overall, your thoughts on this? The starters at linebacker, Ian Wild, Sam Hurl, and Maurice Leggett.
Cool on the O-line that you've got enough Canadians starting here, again, that they're looking to go three American starters. That's not conventional. But then you got Neufeld and Couture waiting in the background. Fichetti is a good backup as well. They're just, isn't it neat? This is the first preseason. And I brought it up at the end of their final preseason game, but no one has said a damn thing about the O-line this entire training camp. That's like, you remember that they're good. That's kind of what we were talking about after the keeping Nichols upright and opening some nice holes for Harrison that second preseason game, is the concern and the alarm bells for that O-line. It's just it's at a great place finally that they can just continue to build with depth. And for sure, the surprise of training camp to me, and it is a shocker to me, that Sam Hurl is slotted in to start at middle linebacker. I'm absolutely shocked at that, and I hope it's the right call. But to me, finding a big stud middle linebacker, you know, 240, 250, a guy that's a wicked athletic and can destroy dudes coming up the middle, all the rest of it, you should be able to go find that guy as an American. That's one of those spots that you should just be able to go get an absolute stud there. I'm concerned. Until I see Sam Hurl stop the run, I'm concerned about what he's going to bring there. It's neat and interesting, though, to me, seeing the amount of faith that they're putting in a player where a couple of years ago he got destroyed in the middle, and they're giving him another chance at it.
Yeah, the Bombers aren't going to win the Grey Cup with Sam Hurl as their middle linebacker. They're just not going to be able to do it, like because they're going to need to be firing on all cylinders on every phase of the game. And I just don't think he's good enough. He's just not good enough to be a starting middle linebacker, because, like Troy said, we've seen this experiment before, and it did not end up good at all. And to me, it's not like you can kind of maybe make do or make sense of it if he's an amazing run stopper but suspect in the pass, or vice versa. But I think he's got faults in both. Like we've seen him get carried and get run over in the run game, and I don't think he's as mobile as Khalil Bass was last year in the pass game as well.
His mobility is my biggest concern. And I remember when he was at the UFC, I just the sideline to sideline is a bit of an issue. Kyle Knox, who was hoping that would take the job, is on the reserves. Thomas Miles, the Winnipegger, who used to play for the Argos, U of M Bison product, he did make the team as a reserve as well. The secondary now is Chris Randall, TJ Heath, Taylor Loeffler, Bruce Johnson, and Brandon Alexander. The reserves are Derek Jones, Kevin Fogg, and Brian Walker. And that's what we were talking about, you know, throughout last season. I know you guys were on Blue Bomber Game Day a lot. But also even on this show the past couple of weeks with just the yardage they gave up through the air last year. What do you think of the secondary?
Well, the entire defense to me is a glaring, flashing panic button. And they're on trial July 1st for me. There's no question about that. I think Bruce Johnson is on the hottest seat right now. I don't think Kevin Fogg is going to be a reserve cat very long. I think eventually he works his way into being a starter. So I just... DBs, linebackers, D-line, everybody's on notice for me. As Bombers Nation, what we saw in this preseason did not give us any... There was no medicine there to make us feel better in preparation here for the regular season. So I hope they're ready to go come July 1st.
Yeah? The secondaries?
I agree. That's the biggest concern for the team for sure because... the odds are they're not going to get anywhere near the amount of turnovers that they had last year. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of, they could have ball hawks all they want, but you just don't see those high of numbers. So they're going to have to find a way to limit points without getting all those turnovers. And I don't know. You look at the other defenses in Calgary and BC, and they look pretty stout there, but... Just too many question marks right now for the Bombers, and kind of in every aspect, right? Like, you hope the D-line's better than it was last year, but at the same time, you're kind of hoping. Like, it's not a set-in-stone kind of thing yet. So other than safety, there's really question marks on every single spot in the Bombers' defense.
So overall, and this is the big show on TSN 1290, and I know there will be a week one, and some teams will have played two games by the time the Bombers hit the field at Mosaic Stadium after their week one bye. But when you look at this team right now, and things will change likely here and there heading into the season with 2 weeks to go prior to that, what's your right now, your end of training camp thoughts on the Bombers and where they finish?
Like where they finish, so you're talking record then, right?
Yeah, like what do you expect from that? I stopped by training camp last week and was just visiting with some people and getting some thoughts on everything. And Ted Wyman of the Sun made the great point. They were 11-7 last year. So what's an improvement? Like if they go 12-6,
there's
like
no chance they go 12-6.
The West is tough. Like you look for improvement, but what you basically are talking about is you hope they get better. If they go 11-7, 12-6, that's great, and then it's all about the playoffs. It literally is. I know you have to make it first, but it literally is. Like, what's an improvement for this team given the way the West is? It's not possible for them to go 15-3, I don't think, with the competitiveness of it. So really, if you go 10-8 or 11-7 like you did last year or 12-6, I think that's what you expect. The real question mark is come playoff time. But heading into the season, where do you think they end up?
Agreed that improvement will be a win in the playoffs, at least one game. There's zero chance they go 12-6. It's just not going to happen. You got Calgary and BC will own the top of that division. And then you've got Edmonton as an unknown force equal to Winnipeg and sort of question mark, where are they going to finish exactly? And I don't think Saskatchewan's going to be as bad as they were last year. So I'm leaning towards 10-8. I'm worried about 9-9. I think they're going to be in one heck of a wrestling match with Edmonton here for third spot in the West, and I'm not sure if they're able to beat them out or not, and could very well be looking over at the East that hopefully struggles so that crossover option is there. But I'm going to be hesitant in giving them 10-8, thinking there's a real good chance for 9-9.
I think it's going to be a dogfight for the Bombers to get third in the West.
There's going to be a lot of cannibalism in the West. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, like I don't know. I mean, a part of me kind of thinks BC can not run away with the West, but kind of set themselves a bit apart. But I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on whether the Bombers can have enough to get past Edmonton. And it's all defensive. Like, the offense, I don't know if there's a concern anywhere offensively for this team. It's just when you bring back Richie Hall and you don't make a lot of changes, like, can you really expect a bunch of improvements? I just don't see it. So I think the Bombers will end up with 10 wins. Whether or not that's good enough for third, I'm not so sure. But, I mean, there, like Troy said, there's a very realistic chance they're a much better team and win less games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because of the West. I'm not sold on Edmonton, so I'm going to give them third. Whether it's 10-8 or 11-7, I don't know. But I think they do. I think they are a better team than Edmonton heading into the season right now. Health is going to play into everything. But I do have them making the playoffs once again, and I do have them ahead of Edmonton and Saskatchewan. A final note before we move on to our next segment, gentlemen, and take a break here on the Big Show, TSN 1290. Drew Willey has been cut by the Toronto Argos. Willey threw for 58 yards, 8 of 12 passing in Toronto's first preseason game against Montreal Alouettes. Did not see any action in their second and final preseason game versus the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Friday. He's 30 years old and was acquired from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for TJ Heath, their first-round pick in 2017, and their third-round pick in 2018. And, of course, we all know that that pick this year turned into the first overall pick, Drew Willey, cut by the Toronto Argonauts.
I don't know if it was the best trade in Winnipeg Blue Bomber history. If it was, like, in modern, the only one that I know that may be better is that I think the Bombers traded for Doug Brown for basically a box of tape. And look what the impact that had. If it wasn't
How much tape?
I think it was maybe, I don't know, 20 rolls or something like that.
That's too much.
But it was either the best or the second best trade all time in Bomber history. Kyle Walters absolutely fleeced the Toronto Argonauts.
Does he play again? I mean, if injuries come up, he might get a call.
I don't think so, man. Yeah. He's not good. It's real tough to land somewhere now. And he hasn't shown anything as of late. I think he's in trouble. Isn't it amazing?
It's crazy.
It's just how quickly you can fall and you lose that. The confidence, that intangible of confidence, man, is so precious, and it's so hard to, once it kind of gets beaten out of you or removed from you, it's really hard to recreate it at an honest and true level.
This is the Big Show on TSN 1290. When we come back, we're going to talk some golf on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to support the fifth and final HSC Foundation Celebrity Human Race. It's your chance to race around Winnipeg, competing in challenges and puzzles with your team celebrity September 22nd and 23rd. The money raised allows the HSC Foundation to improve care for Manitoba families with research initiatives, cutting-edge medical equipment, state-of-the-art facilities. To learn more or to register, visit tsn1290.ca. We normally talk Jays in this segment. Not today. Jays play tonight in Texas. We'll have the game for you here live on TSN 1290. I believe it's at 7 o'clock, right after Darren Bombing and CFL 60. Lots around the CFL and the leagues and the cuts. But they lost a series to the Chicago White Sox. What did I say on Friday?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Yeah.
Don't even tell me what I said.
It's horrible. I know that I was 1-1 with the old world-famous pick six boys.
What did I do?
I picked the Blue Jays.
I don't even know.
I think I was 1-1 too, I think.
Wow. Well,
so that we were 2-for-6. I know that because we got some heat on Twitter.
Hmm.
Somebody said, what happened? And I said, what didn't you? I love that answer. What went wrong? What didn't? How many you had? Who counts? Let's get into the U.S. Open, the 117th U.S. Open. We talked on Friday about the big names not being around in this.
Yeah, the possibility of it, huh?
Yeah, and watching it. And Brooks Koepka wins the 117th U.S. Open, his first major. Good friends with Dustin Johnson. So the night prior to the final day on Sunday, Dustin gave him a call and gave him some advice. He pulls it out. What did you think overall, not only of his performance, but this U.S. Open with so many big names not around, except for Ricky Fowler, who did fall off?
He was the only guy, right? Like, for a big chunk, because, of course, you go 1, 2, 3 out, they miss the cut. And interesting that, like, the number of red numbers, yet the top three guys miss the cut like that was something else. It was real hard for me to to manufacture a level of excitement here. And Koepka played great. And I'm not taking that away from him. I just bombs it off the tee box and 94% in regulation for greens in regulation. Interestingly, though, 51st for putting. Like, he just didn't get in trouble. He didn't do anything spectacular in the greens, but never really got in trouble. But when you look at the names following him, and Ricky Fowler, of course, falls off on Sunday. But other than that, I'm not a wicked watch every single tournament, and I'm aware of some of these names, but some of the names I have no connection to whatsoever, and it's just an absolute shame. Kind of always hoping that Patrick Reed was going to sneak up, even hoping for one of the older boys to make a bit of a push. But the leaderboard was as blasé as you get, no question about it. And whatever, it just, you lose so much oomph when you're looking at the leaderboard and you see Brian Harman, who maybe some people will know, I'm not particularly familiar with, right? And like just Trey Mullinax, for instance, like some of these names.
Yeah, the heavy hitters.
This don't mean anything to you. And it's important on Sunday. Right, that was the beauty of Tiger in the era. Was Tiger typically was at the top of that, and whether you loved him or you hated him, you wanted to watch what was going on. And we talked on this the last couple times we've talked to guys that cover the game. We're like, will this ever transpire? Where you get Dustin Johnson and you get Rory and you get a guy like Fowler and you get Spieth. Some of these guys, like those guys, it would have been so nice, and it's so important at some point in time, boys, to get 2, 3, 4 of those guys at the top of the leaderboard instead of, what is it, the last 11 majors have been won by first-time winners? Last 7 by first-time winners? Somebody grab this and let's go, or get a pack of the young guys. Go forward and start to dominate.
But see, I'm a little torn because I think sports is great this way. Like, I love an 8th seed coming and going to the final, or I love these no-names coming in. But I understand what you're saying, too. Like, there's no sexiness to it. Is it better if, like, 3 of these guys are there with 2 of the big names and they fight it out? Obviously, yes.
Absolutely. Even one of the big – like, of course, Ricky had a chance there, or Fowler had a chance, and then pees the bet on Sunday.
Like, don't you love seeing a Brooks Koepka win his first major? Like, that's intriguing.
I would like to see it if he was wrestling against Spieth or Fowler or DJ. Like, you need one of those big names there to really grab you for the drama, I think.
Yeah, and I think the U.S. Open directors could not have seen their tournament play out in worse fashion, honestly, where you have, what is it, like 3, 4 of the top 5 guys out of it by the weekend, and then the course was tame. It was not a U.S. Open course, and it just, Koepka played great, but to see him tied with Rory with the 16 under he shot at Congressional, and near Tiger's 12 under that he shot at Pebble Beach in 2000, like they're different animals, right? And I enjoyed it because it's a major and it's fun, but it was, as far as U.S. Opens go, it just wasn't what you wanted to see, right? Like I want guys punished for every poor shot they face, and even sometimes when they went in the fescue, these guys were able to get the ball out of there and for the most part could get out with either a par or bogey. So you hope next year, I can't remember where they're going, but I think it's Shinnecock. I mean, that should be a place where you go back and see the scores kind of hover around par.
Get a handful of guys in the red.
It was a weird U.S. Open for me because Justin Thomas shoots a 63, and other names aren't anywhere around, and it's just sort of erratic. But I mean, I loved watching Brooks Koepka and pull this out and a guy win his first major. But I do agree with you guys. It's better when some of the bigger names are around. Quickly before we go, Canadian Brooke Henderson won the LPGA Classic 17 under. Henderson was 3 under on Sunday and jumped over Lexi Thompson, who started the day atop the leaderboard and finished tied for second at 15 under. Brooke Henderson has now won her 4th LPGA event. What a great job by the Canadian. Her sister was on the bag for her, and her parents were there on Father's Day, and her dad is her coach. So she continues to be a great story in golf as a Canadian.
Absolutely, and hopefully she'll rip off another victory or two before the end of the season.
Our good friend Ian Mendez from TSN 1200 in Ottawa joins us next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290. What?
TSN 1290 and United Firefighters of Winnipeg present Caring for Kids. Support the staff and services of the Children's Hospital Foundation of Manitoba today. Text KIDS to 1290-90. Standard message rates may apply. Every time you do, United Firefighters of Winnipeg will donate $1 to the Children's Hospital, up to $1,000. Your actions can help the Children's Hospital keep caring for kids across Manitoba. Kids like Michaela, who is currently battling cancer. For more on Michaela and Caring for Kids, visit tsn1290.ca. Caring for Kids is presented by United Firefighters of Winnipeg and TSN 1290. Jim Tilt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you on the big show, TSN 1290. And this next segment is brought to you by Johnson Waste Management. It's 5 minutes past the hour, and we welcome back into the program our good friend from TSN 1200 in Ottawa, Mr. Ian Mendez. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great today. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. Lots to talk about on this Monday in the world of sports, and we'll start with the Ottawa Senators and who you think they might lose in the expansion draft, or is there a deal to be had to keep somebody, maybe a Mark Methot?
Well, they have some pretty big names available, Mark Methot being one of them, Bobby Ryan, Clark MacArthur. Kind of those are the big names that are available. I would imagine in the case of MacArthur and Ryan, I can't really see a scenario in which George McPhee takes them, MacArthur because of the concussion sort of injury history, Ryan because he's got 5 years left on a contract that'll pay him $7.5 million per. And even though Ryan was absolutely terrific in the playoffs, the idea that George McPhee would take him with that type of term and dollar left seems a little bit far-fetched to me. So if I'm looking at it, the one name that seems to be blinking with red lights all over it is Mark Methot. Here's a guy that is a terrific and dependable defenseman and would bring veteran stability and leadership to a team. But remember, the ownership there in Vegas says they want to be competitive within the first couple of years. They think they can make the playoffs by year two or three. So I think when you factor it all in, Methot is almost as valuable an asset that's available as any that you'll find throughout the 30-team sort of expansion protected list. He's making less than $5 million per. He's only got 2 years left on his deal. It would be perfect. Or at the very least, I think McPhee takes Methot and then flips him out to a team that is in sort of a win-now mentality or really wants a defenseman who can play in your top four and is a left-shooting, good-skating defenseman like Mark Methot. So I don't see a scenario in which Mark Methot doesn't get taken, unless Ottawa can somehow step up to the plate here and say, listen, can we give you something to not take Methot? But I think I would imagine that would take a lot.
Jets are looking for one of those top four lefty kind of guys. Ian, how much of a loss will this be specifically for the pairing of Erik Karlsson going forward? Who would fit in with Erik Karlsson from that at that point?
Well, you have to remember, I mean, Erik has won Norris trophies with, he won a Norris trophy with Philip Kuba as his defense partner a few years ago. He's won another one with Methot, and he might win one this year with Methot. But, hey, there's been times in the last couple of years where Methot's been out. He's, I think, at the very least missed at least 10, 15, 20 games per season the last couple of years. So it's not like Carlson's not used to playing with somebody other than Mark Methot. They've got a couple of other left-hand shooting defensemen. Frederick Claesson is one that people are thinking might be the guy that ends up being Carlson's partner if, in fact, Methot gets claimed. There's a scenario in which I suppose Dion Phaneuf could move over and play. I mean, Phaneuf plays the left side. He's a natural left-shot defenseman. He could play with Carlson. And then they've also got a very highly touted prospect, although I think it would be unfair, but they've got a kid, Thomas Chabot, who appears like the sky's the limit for this kid. And he might be a very intriguing prospect to play with Erik Karlsson next year. So, you know, I think, like I said, I think they might try to go to Vegas and say, what can we do to sort of dissuade you from taking Methot? But at the same time, they know that they have to lose somebody in the draft. And once Phaneuf didn't waive, and I know that, like in Winnipeg with Tobias Enstrom doing that, it makes life a lot easier for the general manager. Once Phaneuf didn't do that, I think Pierre Dorion knew he was kind of painted into a corner here a little bit. And so if he's got to lose an asset like Methot, I think he will. I don't think he's going to just suddenly say, here's a first-round pick, so you take somebody else.
As an outsider, Ian, what do you think of the Jets and the Enstrom thing? And should they send somebody to keep him, or is that just the price of doing business, and do you let him go?
Well, you know, it's tough, right? Because, I mean, you see what what Enstrom did, which is, look, I don't want to leave, but I'm going to waive my no trade clause. And, you know, I think it's funny because a lot of people in this market here looked at the Enstrom situation and said, why couldn't Dion Phaneuf have done that? You know, why couldn't Phaneuf have done exactly what Tobias Enstrom did, which was, I'm going to waive my no trade clause, but I want to stay here. Boy, it's a tough one, right? When you're Winnipeg and you've got, I mean, what Enstrom's in his early 30s, right? So,
yeah, he's 32, and the issue I have with it, and I know a lot of Jets fans do, is just the depth on the left side. It's Josh Morrissey, Toby Enstrom, and RFA Ben Chiarot.
Yeah, and I think Enstrom's a lot like Phaneuf, like 32 years old, which is about the same age as Phaneuf, left-hand shooting defenseman. Like, they don't necessarily grow on trees. Like, you want to find, I mean, good defenseman, period, left or right shooting defenseman, I find, don't grow on trees. And, yeah, when you just lift off the depth that they have on the left side, my goodness, like, if you lose Toby Enstrom, what is there, right? And so the only hope I think they have, if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, or even, like, you look around the league, there's a lot of teams that are probably eyeing defensemen. Toronto's another good example that they could probably use a defenseman, too. I think this expansion draft kind of opens your eyes into kind of how all 30 teams view their assets, right? So now, I think if you are Winnipeg and you do lose Tobias Enstrom, well, you can look around the league and say, okay, well, where could we find a left-shooting defenseman that, okay, even though this guy didn't get claimed by Vegas, or maybe we go to Vegas and say, look, can you draft this guy and we'll pay you something for him? Like, this is a great opportunity for teams, especially when you look at teams that need defense. Like, it's basically going to be, I would imagine, in some ways, open season here with George McPhee, where you're going to be phoning him and saying, as much as people are saying, how much would you give to not, let's say, for example, using Cheveldayoff, how much would you give to not take Tobias Enstrom? I think there's going to be conversations from guys like Cheveldayoff who phone George McPhee and say, hey, how much can I give you if you take such and such defenseman, right? So this is going to be absolutely fascinating for me, the idea that they're going to be able to keep all the information completely sealed up until Wednesday seems a little bit far-fetched to me. There's too many loose lips in this industry, I think, for that to happen. I'm utterly fascinated by it. But, I think a team like Winnipeg, if you lose an asset like Tobias Enstrom, there is an opportunity to maybe get somebody else that can be a left-hand shooting defenseman for you.
A lot of people think the NHL makes more than its fair share of mistakes. Ian, we're in the middle of this here, but do you like the drama, anticipation, and excitement that all of this is set up? Do you like the way they've set this expansion up?
Yeah, and I think, Troy, the thing that I like about this now is that, remember, there was a time, and it went into mid-March, where they said, by the way, we're not going to make this protected and exposed list available to the public. And we were, I think all of us in the media, we were kind of screaming bloody murder, like, are you kidding me? Like, you've got a great opportunity to talk hockey in the middle of June, and you're going to tell everyone that you're not going to be able to see everyone's exposed and protected list. And I think they realized, you know, within 20 minutes of that thing being out, even if it was internally, Bob McKenzie or Darren Dreger or Pierre LeBrun probably would have got their hot hands on it and disseminated it, and that would have been the end of it. So this allows them to control it. I thought it was a little bit funny that I think we were all waiting. It would have been 9 o'clock, I think, your time yesterday morning. We were waiting 10 o'clock, and they were like, oh, by the way, it's a half-hour delay. And we're thinking, like, come on. We've had months sitting here speculating who's going to be protected or not. But I think for the most part, this is great. I think it's too bad that they put this freeze on now that, I would have been, the only change I would have made, I would have loved it if every team could still trade with each other right up until, even involving assets, maybe, you know, other things. I understand that you need to have a little bit of a window here for Vegas, but the fact that now nobody can trade with anybody, I think it's tough that every trade now in the next 48 hours has to go through Vegas. And I understand they paid up whatever, $500 million to get into the league, but, boy, they sure seem to wield a lot of power here in terms of who's going to be going where in the next couple of days.
Ian Mendez joining us this morning on the Big Show, TSN 1290, 14 minutes past the hour. Any concern at all over Erik Karlsson's surgery?
I don't think so. Like, he might miss I think he'll certainly miss training camp, or at least a good portion of it. Erik's not one for, I mean, and I don't think a lot of veterans are, but that loves training camp, that loves exhibition games. So I think he's probably on one hand thinking, look, as long as I'm going to be okay for the start of the season in October, maybe this is a blessing in disguise where I'm not pushing myself in September. And Eric is somebody who, when he had his Achilles injury, if you recall, back in 2013, he had the kind of skate blade from Matt Cook made contact with the back of his Achilles, and I think it was a 70% cut of his Achilles, and the diagnosis at the time was Carlson will be out for 6 to 9 months. And he started skating, guys, in 65 days and came back early. So he's a little bit of a, like almost a genetic freak, so to speak. So I think when people see timelines on Carlson and they see he could be out 4 months, they sort of adjust that and say, okay, well, with Carlson, you're probably talking about 3 months. So I don't think there's any concern here. If anything, I think people will look at it as a bit of a blessing in disguise that he might not have to deal with the rigors of training camp and exhibition games.
Does it bother you that 31 players were in the red numbers at Erin Hills? When you watch U.S. Open Championship and golf, Ian, do you want to see them really struggle and battle with the course?
Well, I remember what it was a couple of years ago near Seattle, right, where it was just an awful course. And I know you think about some of the tough courses they played, like Bethpage Black near New York, where there's just been, it's been a really, really hard go. And then you see, as you say, so many golfers under par. It does, I know, make some people say that, oh boy, I wish that wasn't the case, but I don't mind it from time to time. I think what you really wanted was something really compelling and some great drama, and that's the issue, I think, right, is that Brooks Koepka, and it's a great story. I think anytime a golfer wins his first ever major championship, I think it's a great story. And the only thing that was a little bit too difficult or too tough to swallow is that, I mean, he won it by 4 strokes. Like, it wasn't like, I think it was Harmon and Matsuyama or whoever was kind of finishing second and third there. It wasn't like anybody was breathing down his neck. He shoots a 5-under yesterday. Like that, like, I don't have a problem with people shooting 15, 16 under at majors if other people are shooting 15, 16 under. And that's the thing, right? I think that's the one piece that we were missing yesterday. But at the same time, I think it's awesome. Anytime you get first-time major winners, there's that amazing moment as they're putting in for the championship. And for him to win it, for Koepka to win it on Father's Day weekend, and it obviously seemed to mean a lot to him and his family. So I'm okay with it. I would imagine that moving forward, they're probably going to make sure the course is a little bit tougher so that minus 16 isn't your final score.
And finally, Ian, your thoughts on the Red Blacks now the training camp is wrapped up.
Yeah, so, here we go. It's going to be a pretty exciting week on Friday here. They're going to have the Grey Cup banner and sort of unveiling ceremony, and it's against the Calgary Stampeders, right? So the team that they played last year in the Grey Cup. So it's going to be a lot of fun here. Friday night, they've obviously sold this place out, and Ottawa's hosting the Grey Cup this year. So there's a lot of excitement around this team thinking, okay, well, they went to the Grey Cup in 2015 and lost to Edmonton. They went to the Grey Cup in 2016 and beat Calgary. Now they're hosting the Grey Cup. So there's a tremendous amount of excitement around this team. And obviously the number one story that everyone's focusing in on, it, and I think rightfully so, is how will Trevor Harris do in his first real kick at the can, full-time, no questions asked, you're the number one starter. Because he took over the role last year a little bit from Henry Burris, and then Harris got hurt. A couple of years ago, remember, in Toronto, he was great when Ricky Ray was hurt. But then when Ray got back, it was his job. Well, Trevor Harris doesn't have to look over his shoulder. And I think he's a really, really talented quarterback. In the brief stretches we've seen this guy play, he's put up some really good numbers. So that, to me, is going to be fascinating. But I think the Red Blacks look like they might be the best team in the CFL East again this year. And the fact that they're hosting the Grey Cup here in Ottawa, I think, has a lot of people excited about 2017.
Great stuff as always, Ian. Thanks for doing this, and have a great week.
All right. My pleasure, guys.
Thanks so much, Ian. Take care, man.
This segment was a presentation of Johnson Waste Management, a Winnipeg-run family business doing their best to be the very best. More to come on the expansion draft on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Welcome Congratulations to Katie Hollins, TSN 1290 Subway Sports Star of the Week. Katie was nominated by proud father Bruce, who told us that Katie has always been very athletic, but this year she joined the Oak Park Raiders rugby team as a 16-year-old. She'd never played rugby before, but jumped into the challenge and had a very successful first year. As her father, I've seen her participate in track and field events, but have never observed her ability to turn on her inner beast mode until I watched her play the very physical sport of rugby. She doesn't only play hard, but she's a true sportsman. I'm proud of her. For that reason, Katie is today's Subway Sports Star of the Week and receives a $50 gift card from Subway. Eat fresh. If you'd like to nominate someone to be our next Subway Sports Star of the Week, tell us about them now at tsn1290.ca. We'll announce another winner this coming Friday here on The Big Show, TSN 1290. Jim Tolth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, 23 minutes past the hour. Some CFL fantasy football talk from TSN coming up with Chris Schultz and Derek Taylor, the proud Winnipegger. NHL news and notes still to come in this hour. Brian Wacker from Golf Digest is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour, as is Craig Button. So lots to get to, but back to this expansion draft. And listening to Ian Mendez, what do the Ottawa Senators do? Do they go out of their way to try and keep Mathot? Or?
Well, I guess you would negotiate it, but if it's going to be too much to you, then you got to let it go. What a fantastic seat McPhee's in. Like, this, there's got to be some sort of doc coming out to show the behind the scenes of how he's finagling all of these things. Like, it's just remarkable. The amount of negotiation and going on in his world right now is amazing.
Yeah, what does Ottawa do? I mean, personally, I think I would let Mathot go. But it's just because I don't want to give up a first round pick unless it's to keep either an all-star or some kind of young asset on my team. And as good as Mathot has been for the Senators, his play has started to decline a little bit, and I just wouldn't be willing to give up a first rounder to lose nothing.
A 31-year-old with 2 years left. No.
And not only that too, but I mean, you have a guy like Frederick Claussen on your roster, a defenseman, I think 23 years old, who played really good in the playoffs. So I think if you're Ottawa, you just, this is just kind of life with
it's
the expansion
draft. Cost of the expansion. Yeah.
Shabbat is coming up as well. And first-round pick starts with the Islanders, who went 3-5-1, kept five defensemen, and apparently have, as reported by TSN, I believe it's Darren Dreger, reportedly have a deal in place to keep one of their forwards that has been left exposed, and the cost of that forward is a first-round draft pick.
And I saw somewhere that they think they might have something in place so that they can keep DeHaan as well. It's just a... Does it surprise anybody that the Islanders are somewhere outside of the box on this?
Well, it surprises me because they're going out of their way to protect guys and lose picks, which I think that's what they need. But, like, do the Islanders think they're in win-now mentality mode?
The Islanders are a gong show. And, you know, poor fans, we have Scotty, who listens to us, who's a rare Islanders fan. Find another team, man.
Oh, wow.
This organization is a mess.
Well, and I mean, to your point, they are win now because John Tavares, tick-tock is heading to
UFA,
free agency.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you got to, I mean, I guess you can look at it one way. Either they're win now to keep him there, or you basically ship off everything and build for the future. But you also have to keep in mind that, I mean, they're a franchise in turmoil in terms of, you know, where they're playing, where the arena is going to be. Like, they have
every
to be
aspect,
real careful.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least they got Clutterbuck and Zizekas locked up for 4 and 5 more years.
They still have Halak, too, do they not? Is he still
floating
around there? So it'll be interesting. We want to know your thoughts on the expansion draft, the list, of course, and what you would do with the Toby Enstrom, your thoughts on him waving and then saying he doesn't want to go to Vegas. What would you pay to keep him, or should they just let him go? That's all coming up in the Boss Pizza Fan Line at 9 o'clock. But we'll take a break right now on The Big Show, and when we come back, CFL fantasy football talk. Chris Schultz and Derek Taylor join The Big Show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Pick up your official TSN 1290 discount golf cart today. Hit the greens throughout the summer with great two-for-one deals at a multitude of Manitoba golf courses, including Granite Hills Golf Club, The Meadows Golf and Country Club, Minnewasta Golf and Country Club, Carmen Golf Club, and Lavarande Golf Course, just to name a few. Book a tee time and show your card for great rates. Cards only $34.95 each. Some restrictions apply. To purchase your card and for a complete list of participating courses, visit tsn1290.ca. And a reminder that you can stream us on the iHeartRadio app on all your favorite devices or get a customized playlist to suit your mood or activity. Your music, your stations, always free. Download the iHeartRadio app today and stream on. This is The Big Show, 33 minutes past the hour. Jim, Troy, and Brandon with you. Going to be nicer today before the rain sets in. Could get a little drizzle and then rain throughout the week. Tomorrow's supposed to be nice as well. So get your grass cut is what I'm trying to tell you people. Bombers training camp and training camps across the CFL have wrapped up. We're just on our way towards week one. Of course, the Bombers have a bye. But we welcome back into the program as they will... we're just trying to get...
We're just working on getting the connection set up.
So. Okay, we'll get the connection set up. We'll hear from them soon. And we're going to talk with Chris Schultz and Derek Taylor, Winnipeg's very own, who got his first chance to do play-by-play on a CFL game during the preseason. And we're going to talk about a new initiative of TSN CFL Fantasy. And for you fans out there who have been waiting for this, a lot of fans have been talking about this for years, and this is right up Hustler and Michael Remus's alley.
Yeah,
CFL fantasy football.
You a big fantasy guy in general?
You know what I am? It's weird because Hustler was the guy when I first moved to the city about 12 years ago to try to get me in on this, and I was like, no, I don't have time. I don't have time. Mm-hmm. I don't have time. And then I started, and for selfish reasons, it's actually helped me. Like now you could throw me a name, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a third depth receiver on this, blah, blah, blah. So I enjoy it, too. I'm in baseball now. I do hockey and, of course, football, too. But it's interesting to come up with CFL. You would have been a highly sought-after, maybe, kicker in fantasy football.
A few years ago, maybe.
I'm a big believer in kickers when you're weak. A lot of people pick kickers last.
Oh, yeah?
You get a kicker that can get 9-12 points a week, that'll be the difference.
That's
I believe in kickers, baby.
Take Medlock if you believe in kickers then, I guess.
Exactly. Also to come today, we want to remind you, Boss Pizza Fan Line at 9 o'clock, we want to get all your thoughts on the expansion draft. Toby Enstrom signing off to waive his no-move clause 3 weeks ago. And what you think of the overall expansion list and where you'd go. And if you want to keep Toby Enstrom, what would you pay for him? Or do you think they should let him walk and sort of try and find a left-handed D somewhere else? That's coming up at 9 o'clock in the Boss Pizza Fan Line. Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst, is going to join us at 8:30. And Brian Wacker from Golf Digest. We're going to delve into the U.S. Open as well at 8 o'clock.
What do you think Kenny Stafford got really stinky? He's not productive or there's something more at work there?
You know what? I honestly think it had to do a little bit with T.J. Thorpe. I went out to training camp the other day, and I saw Kenny Stafford. He was running around and looked okay. But Thorpe was heavily involved in the offense, and I know he's banged up again. He was banged up at the start of camp, got into that practice, and I believe he played in Saskatchewan
Last year.
Yeah, in Edmonton, he played a little bit and then got banged up again, but... I don't know. Like, I had high hopes for Stafford coming in. Big, tall, lanky receiver. But it obviously just didn't work out. And I don't know what they signed him for and what the cost was. And that could blow you into it as well. If he didn't beat anybody out or somebody was just as good as him, i.e. Clarence Denmark, a Canadian and whatnot. I don't know. I know Denmark's a slot back. But I don't know. What do you make of it? Like,
it is interesting he ends up back in Edmonton now, right? So it's
and just on the practice roster, but still.
Yeah. But maybe we'll find it at some point in time. You wonder if you just sort of sometimes you need to bounce. It seems like some of the guys get a little bit higher on their horse or whatever, bounce around a little bit until they can land and sort of settle back in, gain traction again. But interesting that he's going to Edmonton. That's going to cause the battle here with a lot of people pointing at Edmonton's defense, saying that's the what we're not quite sure what that's going to be. Well, doesn't that sound sort of familiar here for us as fans in Winnipeg as well?
Yeah, it's interesting. And we talked a little bit about it in the previous. And I know you're high on BC. Do they upset, I guess, Calgary in the West?
I'm picking them to win the West. I think Jonathan Jennings takes another step. You look at their receiving core, it's just flat out stupid. A little bit of concern out of the gate with Calgary's O-line, and I think the BC defense as well is going to play at a high level. It's going to be real close between those two teams. And when you look at the level, like the records, it's hard to imagine a record being all that outstanding in the West, like just because of the level of compete that's going on. You would think Calgary, BC beat up in each other along with, like, I don't know that there's a whole lot of doubt. So take Hamilton. If Hamilton's healthy, Hamilton wins the East, I think. And then you look at Calgary, Edmonton, BC, Calgary, Winnipeg as the top four. Like, are they four of the top five teams in the CFL? They might be.
They very well might be. And, I have them third. I'm not sold on Edmonton. I think Edmonton is going to be better. I agree Saskatchewan is going to be better. I don't think they're going to be as good enough. I think the Bomber offense will be better than, and I know Riley is in Edmonton, but I think the Bomber offense will be better than the Edmonton O and the Saskatchewan O. So it comes down to defense and whether the Bomber defense can outperform the Eskimos and the Riders in my mind. I do have them finishing third in the West. I still like Calgary. I like what you're saying about BC. In the East, it's just so wide open. I like Hamilton, especially if Zach, their quarterback, can stay healthy. And I don't know what to expect from Ottawa with the new quarterback. And I think that he'll be fine there.
Trevor Harris is good if he stays healthy.
Like he's a healthy player. Or if he's healthy, he can do some damage.
The one thing people
Toronto's
forget...
Toronto's going to be awful, I think. I think they'll be better.
People forget that Edmonton's offense scored 60 more points than Winnipeg last year.
Well, they have a... I mean, Riley is...
But I'm just saying, for us in Winnipeg or the fans of Winnipeg going, yeah, Edmonton, we'll take care of them and they're not going to be as good as us. Just chikai with that thought for a sec.
I don't see them being as good as the Bombers, the Eskimos. But I do agree they'll be better. But what they're going to be, I don't know. We welcome back into the program from the CFL on TSN, Mr. Chris Schultz and our good friend from SportsCenter, and now a play-by-play man. Mr. Derek Taylor, how are you guys?
We're good, but who's the better friend, Chris Schultz or Derek Taylor? I want to know.
Well, Schultz, come on. Is Derek on the line? Because if Derek's not on the line, it's you.
Okay. Hey, oh, come on now. Hey, I'm Westwood's friend. You can be Derek's friend.
Do you know what? We're all friends, and there's no level or degree of it. But oh, Derek did buy me breakfast last time he was in town, so that gives him the edge, Schultz.
Boom. Money solves everything, Schultz.
Great new initiative. TSN CFL Fantasy Game allows every fan to become a CFL general manager. A lot of fans have been asking for this throughout the years, especially the fantasy football players. Give us the details on this, gentlemen.
Well, first of all, it's cflfantasy.tsn.ca. First three letters, capital fantasy, the F is the capital, .tsn.ca. So that's what you need to know first.
Don't forget the www in front of that show.
What?
Super exacting. So, yeah, it's great, guys. Kickers are gone. So this is fantastic. I don't have to think about trying to
Justin
Medlock into my team anymore. So, yeah, you get a $40,000 salary cap. You pick a quarterback. You pick an Andrew Harris plus another running back. You pick two receivers. You get a flex position. You get a defense. You fit it in under $40,000, and you get all the points. Best part about this is the values of the players are going to fluctuate week to week. So you're going to get a guy for cheap in week one. You're going to take Brian Timms of Hamilton in week number one. He's going to have a huge week. You then have to adjust because he's going to be worth big money in week number two.
So what you got to do is you got to study football. You got to find the pre-plateau guys, the guys that are getting better and better as the season goes on. I think you start the season with the guys, you know, go and find the guys that were good last year and fill your roster with those guys, because logic says they'll be good in the first week of the season. But then as it goes on, you got to find it. For instance, touchdowns, you get 6 points for rushing, receiving touchdowns. So a guy like Travis Lule, he's going to have some touchdowns because he'll come in on goal line, and you don't want Jonathan Jennings to get whacked.
Oh,
a guy
yeah.
like Andrew Buckley is going to get some touchdowns because you don't want your Bo Levi Mitchell to get whacked. So find the guys to score the touchdowns. You're going to win the whole thing. Then you end up going to Ottawa, and you can hang out with Chris Schultz and Derek Taylor and Troy Westwood and Mr. Tooth, and we'll all go out, have a good time, drink a bunch of coffee.
DT, you're a bit of a – I wouldn't want to be in a fantasy league against you, Mr. Taylor, because you study this stuff inside and out. You know all this stuff, don't you?
I try. You watch all the games and you track. I mean, everybody, we all watch every play and we track everything that happens, but it'll give me an advantage, right? But then there's tough decisions you still have to make. So you think, okay, well, Darvin Adams is a guy who produces touchdowns at an incredible rate, but can I count on him every week. Is he my week one guy? Because what's his matchup like? What's he going to do? You know, when they open in week number two against Saskatchewan, how's that matchup going to work? There's a lot of science in there, but there's a little art as well.
Troy, he's being humble. He spends an inordinate amount of time studying football and watching football tape. We're actually worried about him because he just shuts himself in his apartment and watches football. He doesn't socialize. He has no interaction with people anymore. But it's great for us because we can steal his information at a moment's notice, and it makes us look really smart.
Yeah.
Outstanding stuff, gentlemen. We're talking with Chris Schultz and Derek Taylor of TSN about a brand new initiative, CFLFantasy.TSN.ca. It's your chance to get in on it. And what really sounds intriguing about this, gentlemen, is some fantasy players love just picking a team and leaving it for a week, but others want to be more of a general manager. And by balancing this sort of salary cap, that's going to play into it heavily. Like, it's not just to set your lineup and go away for a week. This is something you're going to have to watch daily for those people who love fantasy football. This is something they've been waiting for.
Yeah, you do have an option to leave your team, but if your values go over the $40,000 cap, the computer's going to drop a player, essentially, and then you're going to have to fill that in. And then you have all those decisions to make, Schultz. Like, you have a $40,000 cap. If you go, oh, man, I want Mike Riley, that's $14,000 almost.
Right.
That really leaves a hole for the next six spots. You have to search out and find those guys who are going to have one big week. Like, if you think, well, you know what, this is going to be Julian Fealy-Godino's week.
Right.
Boom, $2,500, he's in there.
Right.
You can save some money. So you have to search for those opportunities. Just kind of like actual GMs do, look for those undervalued players.
You guys,
a Sutton and a Redley, the two running backs that are with Montreal, you got to take into consideration that they may split time. So, you know, each may get only 50 yards rushing the football. So those type of things, and that's how you kind of study football, is you look at all the people, which are chess pieces, and you see how the chess pieces all kind of fit in, but you can manipulate them and you can move them, and it makes the game interesting. And football has changed so much over the last three decades. It was all about teams, and it was all about winning a championship, and it was all about these groups of people, but it's been fractionalized, guys. It's a lot of it's about betting now. A lot of it is about fantasy football. A lot of it is about numbers. And as much as fans have teams that they follow, they also follow their fantasy players religiously. It's amazing how they follow the fantasy players. It's huge in the NFL, and we're going to try to make it huge in the Canadian Football League, too.
You guys are having a special Tuesday night on this?
Yeah, we have a big Tuesday coming up. Well, that's tomorrow. So we have our fantasy preview show tomorrow. We have our top 50 players. We're going to see some Winnipeg Blue Bombers ranked super-duper high in that. And then the season preview. So the fantasy show is a 7 o'clock Winnipeg time. Then we have the top 50 players at 7:30 and the season preview, a one-hour special at 8 o'clock Winnipeg time across the defined TSN network. Schultz's going to drop us some knowledge on the top 50 players in the CFL. I'm waiting for that.
Drop you some rock knowledge. And then we're in Montreal for the opening of the game, the Alouettes and Saskatchewan. Then we fly all night, which is really not that long, but we want to make it sound like it's a really big deal, to Ottawa, and we're going to be in Ottawa. Wow. Then we're back in the studio for the Edmonton-BC game, and then we go to Toronto for the Argonauts and the Hamlet Ticats. So this is a fun week, and we hope at the end of the week we've identified players and we've identified teams and we have a lot to talk about, and then we'll head into week two and the rhythm starts.
And I assume you get to see the Bombers opener in Saskatchewan as well.
That will be fun, guys. We're going to be there at that brand new stadium. I don't know if you've seen it, Troy, but my God, the stuff that I've seen, it looks absolutely magnificent.
Sure does, man.
Early thoughts right before we let you two gentlemen go on the Bombers and this season that's coming up with the week one bye.
I, you know, they're going to be in the middle of the pack after the bye, right? Because two teams are going to win probably and two teams will lose. I love some of the moves they made in the off season, like Tristan Okpelugo to bring him in. That receivers are going to be healthy is great. Matt Nichols has never looked better in his career. I can't get past how much other teams in the West have improved, though, Jim. BC looks
very good.
Just adding Chris Williams alone makes them a better team when he's ready to go. Saskatchewan, the transition they made during last season and now in this offseason, to me, they're moving up. So and Schultz, if you agree or not, Winnipeg and Edmonton will jockey for that crossover playoff spot.
I think you're correct. I think the thing you got to watch out for is can they be plus 29 takeaway giveaway this year again? I think they'll have more success in terms of protecting the football, but to take away the ball as many times as they did last year, that would be something special. If they do it, I think they'll be as competitive and they have a chance for first place. But if they don't do that, guys, there were a lot of times those interceptions set up points or score points on those interceptions. That's the key. Can they take the ball away from CFL offenses like they did last year?
Big time fun to be had for all you fantasy football players. CFLFantasy.tsn.ca. And there are plenty of guys I know who play fantasy football that can't balance a checkbook, but they can balance a team roster. Yes. And this will help you do that as well. Chris Schultz, Derek Taylor, we really appreciate your time. We look forward to talking CFL with you throughout this season. And best of luck in your fantasy teams.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Take care, Troy.
Once again, CFLFantasy.tsn.ca. We might have to come up with a Big Show team here. Who's going to balance that?
We'd have to have meetings for that, no?
I have to work till I'm 90, so we better let Ruwicki balance the budget. We'll just pick players.
Yeah.
See if it fits or not. Once again, CFLFantasy.tsn.ca. NHL news and notes next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is excited to support Canada 150 at the Forks on Saturday, July the 1st. Visitors will experience tons of free family-friendly programming at five stages around the Forks. Experience a powwow and Indigenous storytelling at the Odina Celebration Circle. And, of course, a stunning fireworks spectacle to cap things off at 11 p.m. For a complete lineup of over 50 acts and more, visit theforks.com or tsn1290.ca. Jim Troy and Brandon, Royal Sports Power Hour on The Big Show, TSN 1290. NHL news and notes time. Also, with this expansion draft, gentlemen, Vegas can negotiate with free agents. Some of the people or the names that are thrown out there include Philadelphia Flyers forward Jordan Wheel, and, of course, Carl Alsner, the longtime Washington Capitals defenseman. What do you think of the free agents available and just the whole process if you're a player to be sitting there? Like Carl Alsner, who's been in playoffs, who's been close to a cup, hasn't won one, sort of sitting down, or a 25-year-old Wheel going, you know what, if I got the money, I'm going to go to Vegas and be a part of this growing franchise, albeit looking probably at 3 to maybe 5 years before you're...
No way. You're saying 3-5 years before what? They're relevant?
Before the playoffs? Yes.
They're going to be... I think people are really underestimating what they do right out of the gate. Three to five years is a crazy talk.
Let's play my favorite game. Who in the conference are they going to beat out to make the playoffs?
Well, you said 3 to 5. Like, you're treating it like they're a team arriving here from Atlanta with nothing in the cupboards. And they're getting stocked. Like they're...
No, I think they're ahead of Atlanta.
Well, you're saying 3 to 5 years, though. I mean, that's like...
Well,
that's
let's
like
do
a,
it. Who
that's
they,
like
who
a burn down and build
playoffs?
Back up.
Who are they knocking out? Who are they going to be better than in 3 years?
Well, they'll be better than two of the teams this year in Arizona and Vancouver. And what happens after that, I'm not quite sure to look ahead 3 years, but there's no way. You're talking 3 to 5 years before they make the playoffs?
I don't think they're...
It'll be a good battle, right? Because you got Edmonton and Calgary surging and San Jose and Anaheim still relevant. But I think that they're going to be in the mix much sooner than people are talking about. You look at their team, man. They have ridiculous depth. I know there's no real star power. They've got half of the first-round draft picks this year. Like, it's, I don't know. I just think people are underestimating how they're going to be a kind of a muddy, like a muck-it-up type team with solid, dependable defense, outstanding goaltending possibly, and sort of a blue-collar forward group. So I think that they're going to be a lot better. I don't think people are going to be lamenting, oh, my God, I'm going to Vegas. I don't think anybody's going to be thinking that.
I don't think they're going to be god-awful and win 8 games this year or 10 games. But Vancouver and Arizona won 30 games this year. In 3 years from now, you think this expansion team is going to be better than the direction Vancouver and Arizona are trying to get to?
In three years, I
think Vegas will have a better team this upcoming season than they will in 3 or 4 years.
That's what I agree with. That's what I think they're going to be okay this first year. And then as these contracts are taking on that expire in 1 or 2 years and they sort of start bringing in their draft picks, I think then they're going to be very, very young and inexperienced.
Yeah, I mean, I guess which they kind of have to be like at some point, just because you're going to need to stock up those cupboards somehow. But... If you're talking about just this upcoming season, I think Vegas for sure has a chance to be a playoff team.
And a playoff team, really?
Yeah, well, why not? They'll have two really good starting goalies, it looks like. Let's just say Fleury and Raanta are their two goalies. I mean, you could book that down for probably a 9-15 save percentage at minimum. So you're already ahead of the game there. Their defense looks to be pretty solid, at least. Yeah. Now, the scoring is going to be the issue. And how they fix that, I mean, if you get Jonathan Marchessault from Florida, there's 30 goals from last year. You have five first-round picks, likely. I mean, you have to think one of those could go to get an offensive piece to come in.
Yeah, but that 30 goals came with Barkov and Jager and a power play. And like, here's my point, gentlemen. Winnipeg and Dallas going to be better this year? You look at the eight teams that made the playoffs in the West, and then you think Winnipeg and Dallas, prime example, are going to be better, and you think that the Vegas expansion team is going to push for a playoff spot this season?
That's what we said.
I think they may well, yeah.
I'm shocked by that.
Well, they don't have to beat all the teams in the Central. They just got to be one of the top three in the Pacific.
Fair enough. So back to the original point, if you're Carl Alsner, if you're Jordan Wheel, do you like the idea of a three-year, $12, $14 million deal? $3 or $4 million per?
Well, I don't know. If that's their fair market value, you are just throwing them out there.
If you're Carl Alsner, do you want to sit and wait and say, well, I'll see what the free agent brings on July 1st? Or do you sit down this week and go, yeah, I'll go to Vegas?
I think that's my bottom line point here. I think players are going to be much more open-minded and willing to go to Vegas than what you've been hinting at for a while now, where people are going to be like, I don't want to go to Vegas. I don't think that there's going to be that sort of feeling.
I think a guy like Alsner would test free agency just to see what's out, but just because of the age and, you know, if he can get a similar contract from a contending team, then you probably lean a bit more towards that. But if you're Jordan Wheel, I mean, that's a pretty good opportunity where you'll get some decent playing time, probably with some decent line mates, and you'll probably also get more money than what Philly could offer you. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see, if I was Jordan Wheel, at least, like, Vegas would be a pretty viable destination for me.
Does Jordan Wheel remind you of Matthew Perreault? Like, here's a chance to move up lines, make more money, and sort of prove myself over the next 3 years for my next contract.
Yeah, like, similar. Like, I don't think he's as good as Perreault, but kind of a similar sort
the
of situation.
I'm
yeah.
Talking, yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. This is the Big Show, TSN 1290. Mike Smith goes to Calgary. We only have about 30 seconds here. What do you think of the deal? We'll delve into this much more later in the program, but initial thoughts?
They're a team really trying to solidify that position, and it's going to help them.
Yeah, I don't know if I like the deal. I think they gave up too much for an aging goalie with a big cap hit, but
I like Mike Smith. I think he'll be okay there. I agree with you, though. Yeah. I don't know what the price is for the next 2 years. You have to win the cup with him the next 2 years, or else the price is really, really high.
And that leaves another starting goalie job taken away. And some of the free agents are seeing their options slowly dwindle. So in reality, that's a move that helps the Jets out a lot, because it knocks Calgary didn't have a goalie, right? So that takes away a starting position from one of the free agent guys.
Somebody asked me that on the weekend. How many goalies are left now? TikTok.
Lots.
Yeah. That's what I said too. There are. We'll talk US Open next with Brian Wacker on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to support the Canadian Mental Health Association and Ride Don't Hide, Sunday, June 25th, starting at Vimy Ridge Park. Pit stops will include the Manitoba Legislative Building and Canadian Museum for Human Rights. Funds raised will help support programs dedicated to youth mental health, workplace mental health, and family support initiatives. To learn more or to register, visit RideDon'tHide.com. The Big Show on TSN 1290. Jim Tolth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki, an hour away from the Boston Pizza fan line. Lots to talk about today and get your opinions on the expansion draft. Craig Button of TSN will join us at 8:30 to talk about that as well. But the 117th U.S. Open was won by Brooks Koepka, who managed to pull it out on Father's Day yesterday. Lots to talk about around the U.S. Open and on the Boston Pizza fan line at 9 o'clock, too. We'll ask your thoughts on whether you were intrigued by the fact that a lot of the big names weren't around on Sunday, or did you like the fact that a bunch of sort of new names not newer to the tournament, of course, or the tour, but new names were around. To talk about the 117th U.S. Open at Erin Hills, Wisconsin, we welcome back into the program from Golf Digest, Brian Wacker. How are you, Brian?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I guess as a journalist covering the event, what were your thoughts on just how it played out and the fact that the big names weren't so involved other than Ricky Fowler on Sunday?
Yeah, certainly a different kind of U.S. Open and a different kind of leaderboard than we're used to seeing in a major championship, a bunch of guys in contention who never won a major, but, you know, that seems to be the status quo lately. This is the seventh straight major with a first-time major champion, and but look, that shouldn't discount the performance at all. Brooks Koepka, this guy has been kind of knocking on the door a bit. He's had some good finishes in the U.S. Open in particular and in major championships. And, you know, he's this sort of new breed of player, hits it a mile. Physically, is just imposing and just a, you know, real athlete out there. And on Sunday, you know, hitting every green except one in regulation. And when you drive it as well as he does and make a few putts, this is what happens. And, you know, we saw that on the back nine down the stretch, hitting the accelerator and just leaving everyone in the dust.
Would you agree that Koepka's game, like for him to be seventh and driving fourth in fairways, first in greens for the tournament, 51st for putting in the tournament, but in watching him, there are some similarities and parallels to the game of Dustin Johnson?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it goes beyond even just similarities in their game. I think their personalities are very similar, very laid back, very chill, as they would say. And the two are good friends. They work out together all the time. They play a lot of practice rounds together. They share a coach in Claude Harmon, and also both occasionally work with Butch. Claude lives in the area where they live in South Florida, so he sees him more often, but yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. They both go about golf the same way. And you're right, the putting, look, Brooks is not a guy you would consider maybe a great putter. I know he ranks pretty well in the strokes gained putting, but he's not a guy you typically think of as being a great putter. And I think we saw a little bit of that at times on Sunday. But, you know, in a major championship, you'd particularly U.S. Open, you don't necessarily have to putt great, but he did make some clutch putts coming down the stretch, and he is capable of that. So, and we saw that on Sunday.
Brian, where does Ricky Fowler go from here, and what does he take from this U.S. Open?
Well, Ricky's a glass half full kind of guy, and I wrote about this for GolfDigest.com, which you can read about. You know, it's a little different. I would have expected or maybe thought that Ricky would be a little more upset. You know, not that he played poorly on Sunday, but, you know, even par wasn't going to get it done on a golf course, while tougher on Sunday, was still yielding some low scores. And he had a number of missed putts early and a couple of wayward iron shots that left him in some bad positions. But, look, life is pretty good for these guys. And I think, you know, calling them soft would be a little strong, but, you know, look, at the end of the day, Ricky, you know, got another top five, made about $500,000, for the check, has a great life, on and off the course. And so really, you know, it's easy to understand why a guy maybe wouldn't be quite as upset. Now, look, that's not to suggest that Ricky doesn't want to win or doesn't care. That's not to suggest he doesn't work hard or any of these guys, because they wouldn't be in this position otherwise. But it's certainly a different way to go about it than, say, Tiger Woods, there we just came out of, where, you know, these guys don't seem to be all in on golf all the time, and that's okay. I mean, that's the way to go about it. Even Brooks Koepka is a guy who's not admittedly a golf nut. So it's certainly a different approach. I think this is one of the sort of, you know, sidetracks of the Tiger effect, if you will, is that these guys are playing for so much money and life is very good, you know, on and off the golf course. And Tiger, of course, is a bit of a cautionary tale when it comes to being all in on golf all the time. And maybe maybe they've learned from that. Or, you know, maybe that's just a different generation, a different way to approach it. But certainly Ricky was happy with, for the most part, with his performance. And, you know, we see all the time with other guys. So it's a optimistic approach rather than a pessimistic one.
We were talking before the tournament started and sort of lamenting how the young guns, you know, including Rory and Jason Day, Fowler, Spieth, Dustin Johnson, they just haven't taken over golf to the degree that most golf fans had hoped once the void by Tiger was left behind. Your thoughts, and now with Koepka winning the U.S. Open, I think it's seven majors in a row here with first-time winners. Your thoughts on sort of the overall state of golf?
Well, I think this is what golf is typically. I think we were spoiled for so long with Tiger Woods and the dominance that he had that we sort of either consciously or subconsciously sort of think that anytime a guy gets in contention, you know, he's going to win. And that's really not how it works. I mean, as Ricky pointed out, talking to him yesterday after his round, you know, Tiger won about 30-35% of the time in his career, which is absurd. And, you know, most guys win around 10% if they're lucky. So, you know, and I think that's what we're seeing. So we get this crop of, rather than one dominant figure, two dominant figures, we have this crop of generational players, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, and so on, who maybe dominate for a short period, but the consistency just isn't there. They're generational players, whereas I look at a guy like Tiger as a once-in-a-lifetime type of player. And look, I mean, that's not a slight against any of these guys because, again, comparing anything to Tiger Woods is a futile enterprise. But certainly we're not going to see the dominance that we saw in the previous era of golf from this generation.
Brian Wacker from Golf Digest joining us. You can read his fine work at golfdigest.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BrianWacker1. On the Big Show, TSN 1290, 12 minutes past the hour. Brian, I'm wondering about, and we talk about Ricky Fowler and when's he going to win his first major. We talk about Brooks Koepka winning his first. And then there's Hideki Matsuyama, who's always in contention, who's always around, but nobody really is waiting. It seems to me anyways, probably in the golf world they are, but like to the casual fan, nobody's sort of waiting there going, when's Hideki going to win one? When's Hideki going to win one? Can he win one? And what are your thoughts on him and where he's at with his game right now?
Well, certainly he has the skill set to win one as well as he drives the ball, as well as he hits it with his irons, and at times his short game has even improved dramatically. So he's progressing, and I think the thing with Hideki is we sometimes forget, because he's been around so long, that he's still just 25 years old. And that's the case with a lot of these guys. I think we forget sometimes just how young they are. You know, golf, they would often say you wouldn't really hit your peak until 30 or thereabouts. But now we're seeing guys come out and have success 21, 22, 23 years old. So all of a sudden that ramps up the expectations that these guys are going to win all the time. And it just doesn't really work that way. So, but with regard to Hideki, look, certainly – he has the game to win a major. I wouldn't be stunned if he won one in the next year or two. But being Japanese, of course, and the language barrier and all of that goes with all of that, I think some of the American fans, at least in particular, you know, maybe sort of there's a disconnect there when it comes to Hideki, but he's a fantastic person, terrific player, and no doubt I think will win a major championship at some point.
Right before we let you go, Brian, all of us here in Canada are very proud of Brooke Henderson again and her fourth win on the LPGA Tour. I know you're at the U.S. Open, but the future is so bright for this young Canadian golfer.
It is, and you have a Sunday of Brooke, and then you have Brooks. Good day to be named Brooke.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, she's obviously a terrific young talent on the LPGA and a bright future for her. And the LPGA, similarly, in a good spot with a lot of young, talented players to kind of help carry that sport forward for the next 10 years.
Always appreciate your time, Brian. Great stuff as always. And thanks for doing this. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You got it. Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Once again, you read his fine work at golfdigest.com, and he's a great follow at Brian Wacker 1. on Twitter as well.
Even as the weekend unfolded there, there are 24 players within four strokes of the lead. And of those players, only two had ever won a major before. It was just so heartbreaking to see the top three guys, right, fall out, miss the cut, and then Spieth dwindles, and everyone just sort of fell apart. It was just a real strange weekend of golf at the U.S. Open. If you dig the meat, like the meatiness or the sexiness of the big names being up there and vying for a strong leaderboard, like when's the last time we've seen that? I seem to recall, I can't remember what tournament it was last year, but it was just awesome where there's three or four of those main cats in the top six sort of thing and some of the wrestling going on there. But it has been so disappointing that those guys haven't taken this and run with it.
I think it was the Masters last year where everyone was kind of chasing Spieth. But yeah, yeah it is. It's underwhelming.
Spieth again has yet to finish in the top five since that collapse.
Yeah, which is like he looks like when you watch him play, he looks broken. Mm-hmm. Like, and he knows it too. And he's trying to figure out what's wrong, and it's not swing related, which is probably the worst possible thing for a golfer if it's all up in his head. But maybe it is just kind of the after effects of the Tiger era.
Yeah,
where you just once a guy gets to number one in the world, like Day and Johnson,
you're waiting
and
for the next Tiger, right?
You just you expect them to be there every tournament, mm-hmm. And I guess it's just. It's just not realistic, especially when you have like a guy like Brooks Koepka who can come in outside of the top 10 in the world and he hits it 370 off the tee, basically, and he can come in and play his mind off. And
he hit a three-wood 390, or he had some insane, like 379, yeah. He hit a three-wood yesterday.
What do you guys think of Matsuyama? I am shocked he's only 25 because it seems like he's been there for 10 years.
And I'm there with Brian where I just don't he's not a golfer that, you know, when you're watching golf, some guys stick to you, some guys don't. Yeah. He just doesn't do anything for me. There's no emotion. You don't see. It doesn't get me to sit there on the couch and watch, that's for sure.
I kind of dig his game. I'm a big like Matsuyama fan. I love that. I think I'm going to copy his swing, actually. I'm going to take the Matsuyama swing, the pause at the top, and then just as hard as you can go on the bat on the follow through.
I should do the same and get rid of this Charles Barkley swing. We'll talk more about the expansion draft, and of course, Craig Button joining us at 8:30. This is the Big Show on TSN 1290. Oh, wait a minute! Wait! I have an invite for four to join us at TSN 1290's Jocks and Jockeys Night at Assiniboia Downs on Wednesday, July the 5th. If you want to join us, 780-1290 for invites for four to join us at TSN 1290's Jocks and Jockey Night at Assiniboia Downs on Wednesday, July the 5th. More Big Show to come on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
What greater gift is there than the gift of life? That's exactly what every blood donation delivers. Blood and blood products are a critical part of everyday medical care, including major surgeries, medical procedures, cancer treatments, and managing disease. This Canada Day, Canadian Blood Services is hoping you can make a donation. The Canadian Blood Services location at 777 William Avenue will open at 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. To book your appointments, you can call 1-888-2-DONATE. Visit blood.ca, or walk-ins are welcome at 777 William Avenue. This is a Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Jim, Troy, and Brandon just discussing that Joe Buck on the call on Fox of the U.S. Open referenced Brooks Koepka's girlfriend as his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I just...
That's the funny thing. Yeah. You know when that happens, that Koepka's getting in trouble by his present girl no matter what. No, he had nothing to do with it, right? But he's going to pay the price for the mistake of Mr. Buck.
Quote, his girlfriend Becky Edwards, as an All-American soccer player at Florida State, Fox commentator Joe Buck said, his girlfriend is Jenna Sims now.
Oh, dear.
How does he even know her name? That's going to come up. Joe Buck on golf. You like Joe Buck on golf? I love Joe Buck. I'm not so-so on the golf. I'm so-so on the golf call. And I love him doing baseball. I love him doing football. I'm a big Joe Buck fan.
I was okay with his golf. I was okay with it.
Yeah, I like Fox's coverage. I'm out on Joe Buck with golf. Just not buying it. I love the tracers that they have and a little bit of the advanced stats, right, with the club head speed and ball speed and trajectory. So I like the broadcast. I just don't think he's just not a golf guy. It's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. Like I said, I'm a big fan of his as a play-by-play guy. I love baseball, love football. I think he and Troy Aikman are one of the best tandems in football.
Yeah.
But on the golf, it's just, I don't know. Like, he's okay. He's just not as good as he is at baseball or football, in my mind. Also, TSN 1290 is proud to sponsor Bike Week Winnipeg, happening now through Friday. And to help us celebrate, our friends at Alter Ego Sports on Pembina have given us some brand new bikes to give away this week as part of our Off the Chain contest. Today's first bike winner is Pretty has won a 2017 Cannondale Quick 8 bicycle. I apologize for mispronouncing this, if the name is wrong, from Alter Ego Sports. The Cannondale has a nimble aluminum frame, durable Duro tires, and fast rims. A perfect start to Bike Week Winnipeg. Once again, congratulations to Pretty. Is that?
Pretty Isha? Yep.
Ah! I apologize, Pretty. Pretty Isha is our winner. For more information on the Cannondale and any other ride you might be considering, visit alteregosports.com. You can still enter our off-the-chain contest now at tsn1290.ca. We'll welcome another bike winner tomorrow morning on the big show Off the Chain, presented by Alter Ego Sports and TSN 1290. And somewhere Joe Buck just said, I don't like Jim Tilt's reference to contest winners' names.
He said it three or four different ways. One of them's got to be right. Yeah.
Say it again for me, please.
Pretty Isha.
Pretty Isha. Thank you. You know, I was wondering if it was Pretty, and I'm like, well, it couldn't be, but Pretty Isha, congratulations. Joe Buck is not a fan of mine on the contest winners. I'm not a fan of his so much on the golf, but I love football. And
were you guys impressed in the NHL how everything was kept so, like, in the day and age we live where secrets are hard to keep, the NHL and everyone involved did a pretty good job with the list and stuff?
I wanted to bring this up with you guys because a lot has been said over the past week when we contacted the Jets and they said we're keeping everything around the expansion draft in-house. The Jets are often commented on the fact that they keep everything in-house. Mm-hmm. I understand why they do, and I am surprised at how everything was kept quiet, because you look at what happened with the Ottawa Senators and Dion Phaneuf. I have no idea why that was made public. And I liked it. It gave us something to talk about. But let's be honest. I had no clue Toby Enstrom waived 3 weeks ago or signed off on it. I don't know of anybody in Winnipeg that did know that. And your thoughts on that, as you said, like, are you surprised it was kept secret? And are you surprised that, you know, how the Jets sort of kept this under their...
Yeah, it's not so much that I'm surprised. I'm just, the Jets are an organization that does well in keeping secrets. And in this day and age in which we live, all the leaks and anonymous sources and everything else, they do a good job. So it's more something that I commend than that surprises me. But from an overall scale on the NHL, with how much people were trying to find out what was going on with all the different organizations involved, you just had a couple, like the Phaneuf thing, a couple of those sort of things happen. But by and large, was very impressed with the overall level of secrecy that they were able to contain.
Yeah, and this was probably a directive from the NHL too.
Oh yeah,
but because they're taking every precaution to make this, I guess, transition to Vegas as seamless as possible. And I was surprised. I was kind of shocked that it made it basically till, what, 9 a.m. yesterday morning, until we finally got like a bit of leaks. There was a couple of leaks at that point. And for it to make it till then, yeah, I agree. That's a major, major win for the NHL.
And the only time I started seeing leaks was when the NHL announced it wouldn't come out till 9:30 Central Time. And then about 9:17, like, the insiders started having some names and some lists. So it was interesting to me, and kudos to them for keeping it secret, especially in this day and age, as Ian Mendez referenced earlier on in the show. Craig Button from TSN is going to join us next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is excited to return to Assiniboia Downs for another Jocks and Jockey Night on Wednesday, July the 5th. As we told you earlier, it is including dinner, a betting seminar, pop, free wager, prizes, And the whole thing is hosted by the TSN 1290 crew. The only catch, you have to win your way in. Keep listening for your chance to win invites. And if you want more information, you can visit tsn1290.ca. And, of course, congratulations to today's winner, Jeff Mayer. Jeff Mayer has four invites to TSN 1290's Jocks and Jockeys Night at Assiniboia Downs on July the 5th.
Awesome stuff. Always a great night. Was at the Downs this weekend. That buffet is spectacular, boy. Spent 2 hours just sitting there and eating. It's awesome stuff. A lot of fun that night.
You must have ran around the track a couple times yourself after that buffet, because I know you like
that's the thing. We go and eat, and then Trey's asking me to go bait because I got this massive grass area in front of the paddock. Trey wants to go play tag with me. I'm like, dude, I'll speed walk tag with you, but not run. Come on, man.
It is a great buffet, and we'll have more giveaways for a chance to join TSN 1290 at the Assiniboia Downs for Jocks and Jockey Night on July the 5th. We welcome back into the program now our good friend from TSN and hockey analyst, Mr. Craig Button. How are you, sir?
I am good today. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. Joining Jim and Troy and Brandon on the big show, TSN 1290, 33 minutes past the hour. And I guess in Winnipeg, Craig, the news of the day on the weekend was when Toby Enstrom, it was announced 3 weeks ago, signed off on waiving his no-move clause. And now the question remains, do they send something to Vegas to keep him? Does Vegas want him at the $6 million price tag? What's your sort of read on what plays out here with Toby Enstrom and the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
Well, there's a couple of layers here. Number one, I think that by Toby agreeing to waive his no-move clause, that allows the, instead of having to go 8-1, protect four defensemen, or potentially expose Tyler Myers, you know, now you're looking at protecting three other forwards. And I think you look at the value of those three forwards. I look at it as Perreault, Armia, and Andrew Kopp. Adam Lowry falls into there, but three of those four now, you don't have to worry about losing one of them. So I think they look at the value of that. Tobias Enstrom is a free agent at the end of next year, too. And I think that you're trying to maximize your spot, and you know you're going to lose a player. You know, I think for the Winnipeg Jets, you know, what do you want to, if you want to keep Tobias Enstrom, and what are you going to offer to the Vegas Golden Knights? Because to me, here's the challenge for the Winnipeg Jets. The challenge is Tobias Enstrom is still a really good defenseman. He's got an expiring contract, and next March or prior to the trade deadline, there's real value for a player like Tobias Enstrom. Teams that are pushing for the Stanley Cup are looking at players exactly like this, players that are in expiring contracts, teams are up against the cap, and this is the type of player that can bring a lot in return. First-round draft pick. So to me, you know, George McPhee knows what the value of Tobias Enstrom is. So, you know, if he thinks he's going to listen, you know what, I can get a player that can come into my lineup, help me be pretty decent to start the year, you know, a decent player coming into my lineup, and then I know I can turn around and trade him for a first-round pick next year. That seems to be a pretty high price to pay to keep Tobias Enstrom. Now, maybe the thought is that Winnipeg can do the same thing. You saw what they did with Andrew Ladd. But, I mean, these are all the considerations. It's not just what, you know, Winnipeg has to pay. It's what George McPhee knows what he can get for that player next March, and is Winnipeg willing to overpay to try to get a return like that? So, I thought that for Tobias Enstrom, he's one of the players with lots of value for the Vegas Golden Knights out there, and I think for the Winnipeg Jets to keep him, they're going to have to find a way to give a little bit more to George McPhee.
Does him saying through his agent that he doesn't want to go to Vegas affect this at all?
Well, I mean, first of all, once you waive your no-move clause, it doesn't matter what you say. You've waived it. If he didn't want to go to Vegas, he just had to say, I'm not waiving it.
I hope someone's going to make a documentary of the behind-the-scenes thing here of George McPhee, because it's got to be such a cool ordeal going on there within the walls of the Golden Knights. How wild do you think the bidding war is on exposed players right now for other teams calling in on him, Craig?
Well, I mean, I think the bidding is pretty high. And I think that, you know, it's not just for the Vegas Golden Knights, it's also for other teams. And, you know, take the case of Mark Messier. Mark Messier's a real good player for the Ottawa Senators, a real complimentary piece for Erik Karlsson. Well, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, you got cap room. You know, are you prepared to offer something to George McPhee to get Mark Messier? Montreal Canadiens are looking for a defenseman. Are you prepared to get Mark Messier in your lineup for a couple of years? So I don't think there's any lack of teams that would be that would love to get a player like Mark Messott. And there's other players that are available. So I think absolutely, and that's what drives the price up. Like if Winnipeg wants to keep Tobias Enstrom or Ottawa wants to keep Mark Messott, it drives the price up for them. And at some point in time, you got to go, hey, listen, we're losing a player anyway. I'm going to lose a player, and I got to give up an asset here. You got to balance that all out. But I don't think there's any question. And George McPhee made it very clear yesterday. So basically what he said is, gentlemen, start your phones and let the bidding begin because I'll just be receiving your calls. And if you want to negotiate yourself out of something, make an offer.
And along those lines, Craig, did any of the names surprise you out there? And how does it play out with some of the names that might do surprise or does surprise you?
Here's what I would say, Jim. I don't think there's any names that surprise me because if you look at the Islanders, and you have to believe that that the Islanders are looking to try to I think that you would think, well, they must have a deal made with Vegas when they do this type of a scenario. So, you know, so I don't think you should be surprised about Josh Manson or Sammy Vatanen being out there. I mean, I think the Anaheim Ducks have things in order. I think the Columbus Blue Jackets, by all appearances, have things in order. So I think now you look at other teams, really no surprises for me. There's no significant name. I mean, you can look at Pittsburgh's list, for an example. You can say, oh, boy, Brian Rust is out there. But they're taking Marc-Andre Fleury. So you know what? Brian Rust isn't available. I mean, he might be available, but he's not available because Marc-Andre Fleury's going that way. So, I mean, I think you got to look at where teams are at with their players. The one player that did surprise me, and I will say really surprised me, was Michael Grabner with the New York Rangers. Really good contract, only 1 year left on it. Great speed, scored goals this year. I was surprised by the New York Rangers exposing him.
Craig, and seeing some of the names available in all the positions and with the coaching of Gallant, how competitive are you expecting Vegas to be out of the gate?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I mean, do you take James Neal? Do you take Michael Grabner? I think one of the hardest things to do is get scoring and finding offense in your group to begin. I think the nice thing about Grabner and Neal is they have 1 year left on their contract. So, I mean, they can really help you at the outset, you know, and the hardest area to help, which is goal scoring. I think you can find players that can check, and you can find defensemen that can be really good, responsible defense and solid goaltending. But the scoring is a hard thing. But I think that when you consider some of the names that are out there, perhaps some of the deals that are out there for the Vegas Golden Knights, there's no reason to believe. I'll be straightforward with you. I didn't think that they were going to have the quality of player because I thought there would be a real serious redistribution of players amongst the other teams in the league, which would leave the exposed players, not of real high quality for Vegas. But certainly what we saw yesterday with the exposed list, that isn't the case. So, to answer your question, yes, I think they can be more competitive, certainly, than I thought they would be.
Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst on TSN, of course, joining us on The Big Show, TSN 1290, 41 minutes past the hour. Craig, the draft is coming up this week as well. This is a big week. Do you like the way this is all put together and formatted? Like somebody was mentioning earlier on our show that the only thing they would change is they would like to maybe see other teams being able to trade with each other leading up to Wednesday as well. The way this has played out and the excitement around it, do you like the process the NHL has come up with?
All the teams had a chance to trade with each other all through the year. I mean, at some point in time, you got to Las Vegas has to be given the opportunity to sort through everything, right? And I mean, when you pay $500 million, I mean, bottom line, you got to get some advantages. And I think that the Las Vegas Knights, deserve that. I don't think any other team deserves the right to be able to trade through Wednesday. You had your chance. It's over. Now the exclusive window belongs to the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, this is the process. I mean, this whole idea, Jim, to me is about, oh, what's this? This is the process. Deal with it. I mean, it's not like this is a process that's arduous or people are going, oh, my God, how can this happen? It's the process.
Yeah.
I don't see anything that really, you can question it. You can go, why did they do this? But bottom line, this is it. Deal with it. I don't see any even reason to talk about it, quite honestly.
Craig, we haven't had a chance to you to talk about what your thoughts were with Drouin going to Montreal. So your thoughts with that, and then also on the constant rumor of Galchenyuk getting moved out. Do you think it's a good call?
Yeah, it's a good question on Galchenyuk. I mean, it seems to me that he hasn't been able to find a footing in Montreal. You know, they don't see him as a center. He scored 30 goals as a center. It happened in a year where they were absolutely abysmal. Claude Julien has come in, the second coach that doesn't really believe he's a center. And, you know, when you don't find footing in an organization, and it just seems that, you know, the time remaining in that organization is shortened. And I'll be very surprised if Alex Galchenyuk does return to the Montreal Canadiens. So I think there's value out there for him, and I think there's people that see him as a center and a capable one. So I think that, you know, that can satisfy the Montreal Canadiens in terms of what they're trying to get back for him. As for Drouin, I mean, he's an exciting player. He's a highly gifted player. I said this last week. You know, he is the most exciting player to come into the Montreal Canadiens uniform, a French-Canadian player, since Stéphane Richer, in my view. And, you know, you have a French-Canadian player that's a good player that absolutely meets a need of theirs, and that's more skill. They need more skill. They need more scoring up front. They get that with Drouin. And then the ancillary benefits are that he's French-Canadian and number two, he's an exciting, exciting player. When he comes out on the ice, you get near the edge of your seat because he has that ability to pull you right out of it.
What does Phil Housley bring to the Buffalo Sabres as head coach, Craig? And you know, do you know yet, given the fact that they are rumored to be making a lot of moves or looking to?
Well, it has nothing to do for me with the moves they're making or not. It has to do with Phil Housley. Phil Housley has no pro coaching experience. In fact, his only head coaching experience, but I'm talking about head coaching, is at high school, and he coached the World Junior team back in Ufa. Now, I know he's been an assistant. I'm not saying there's not exceptions to the rule, stepping out of an assistant's role or stepping out from not and being a head coach. But Doug Wake is doing it in Long Island. Phil Housley is doing it in Buffalo. What I would say really clearly about Phil, you better be in it for the long haul with Phil, because there's going to be a lot of growing periods for him. He's going to learn a lot of things that he doesn't have the benefit of, having never gone through it as a head coach at pro. Now, do I think Phil is smart? Do I think Phil has worked hard? Yeah, I do. But you got to be really patient with him. He's no different than a young player. When you bring him in, having no experience, be patient with him. Make sure that he has real good support around him in terms of assistant coaches, and then move forward. I mean, one thing about Phil, I mean, he's got lots of games under his belt, but this isn't playing anymore. This is coaching. And you consider the division he's in, and he's in a real hard division in terms of coaching. You got, I just mentioned Claude Julien. You got Mike Babcock, and you got Guy Boucher up in Ottawa. That's just your immediate division, and that is really, really hard. John Cooper down in Tampa Bay, it's a real challenge. But, you know, can he do it? Yeah, but be patient with him, because it's going to take some time, you know, really for him to really, you know, come into his own as a head coach, having had no head coaching experience in pro.
Craig, great stuff as always. We appreciate your time and look forward to a big week coming up in the National Hockey League. Enjoy your week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so very much, Craig.
We'll take a break here and tee up the Boston Pizza fan line. Lots to talk about on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Leave your back gate unlocked because TSN is coming over on select evenings throughout the summer. TSN 1290 will back up the truck with a portable party for up to 25 people, including catering by Qdoba Mexican Eats, including a burrito bowl hot bar with tortillas so you can make tacos and an abundance of three cheese queso, beverages including a sampling of Tall Grass Vodka, Winnipeg's only grain-to-bottle vodka produced by Capital K Distillery, a family pack of fireworks to light up your night courtesy of Archangel Fireworks, an iGrill 2 digital app connected thermometer for each grand prize winner provided by Lux Barbecue Company, and a hot tub for you to soak in over the course of the week provided by our friends at Oasis Leisure Center. We'll also have the TSN 1290 crew on site to help serve and set up. Parties will happen Thursday evenings from now until August, including June 29th, July 20th, and August 10th. Enter online at tsn1290.ca, and we could be seeing you very soon. This is the Big Show on TSN 1290. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki. Boston Pizza fan line going to be open at 9 a.m., 8 minutes from now, and get your thoughts on several things, including, gentlemen, your thoughts on Toby Enstrom not only waving his no move, but what plays out with this.
Well, waving it, I thought last week it was a real possibility, and certainly what's fits best here for the Jets. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Sevelyev, if they've got something in possibly in works with McPhee so that they don't take him, so that he stays here sending a pick, however they're going to manage that whole situation. But ultimately, I like what they've done. I'm really excited to see here what else Sheveldayoff's got going on here. There's just so many doggone possibilities and opportunities for a team that has a couple of areas that are as glaring as the Jets do, with the need to help Hellebuck in goal. You need to complement that position. They need a top four left D. And I'm really intrigued, guys, by so all these exposed players now for Vegas to go and vulture on, right, that they can go pick from these rosters. And now if you're a team in need and if you see a left-hand D that's unprotected out there and you can start negotiating with McPhee, okay, we'll give you this and that, you pick this player from that team and we'll send this to you. Like, this is going to be absolutely wonderful. And can you imagine the behind-the-scenes situation with the Golden Knights and George McPhee and all the wild dealings going on? It's just got to be mind-blowing.
Yeah, it really is crazy. And like we talked about, even with just the Jets situation, if you're George McPhee, and let's say in this scenario you were hell-bent on getting Marco Dano, you don't tell the Jets that. You could say, look, we're going to take Toby Enstrom. What are you willing to offer to steer us towards one of your forwards? Like I wonder how many conversations and just like how good of a poker player do you have to be if you're George McPhee to try and maybe get a little bit of extra value, basically with essentially, 25 out of the 30 teams that are in this thing? So it's, I think the Enstrom situation with Winnipeg is real simple. It's what pick are you willing to give up for Vegas to not take him? I think that's the kind of the real discussion around this whole thing. And to me, a first is out of the equation. I don't even think about that. So then it comes down a second or a third. And for me, I think I would set the limit at the third-round pick. And if they want a second, I say thanks, but no thanks. If you want Toby, then feel free to take him.
You wouldn't go second-round pick for Toby Enstrom?
No.
Would you? I would, because I just don't know where they're going to go. I understand free agency's available. I understand a trade's available. But if you're talking trade for a top-four left-handed D, you're likely looking at a second-round pick and another prospect on top of it. I think you send a second-round pick, and maybe it's not this year, maybe it's next year, maybe it's 2018. Apparently Vegas wants to build through the draft 17, 18, 19. But I think that, and I know that Toby's probably gone after this year, but I think you can potentially trade him. I just don't know depth-wise if you can let him go.
Well, if you go and acquire a top-four left-hand D, you can let him go. Right, in theory, you got guys there, and you've also got the possibilities of picking up another left-hand D for just sort of added depth in that 7-8 sort of hole. I would tend to lean, and like the 2-3, round 2 or 3 is I'm right there with straddling this, but I would tend to let him go and then just get aggressive and go get a top-four left-hand D, a guy that's going to bring more to the table than Toby, because ultimately I don't think you want Toby Enstrom playing top-four left-side D upcoming this year. Like, you want to be able to make an improvement from him, right? Like, if Toby was to stay here, you'd ideally like him in your 5-6 pairing sort of a thing, trying, because you're also wondering how much more of a step towards diminished returns is Toby Enstrom going to bring to the table this year after the disappointment of the last couple of years, another year older, all the rest of it. So yeah, I'll tend to say, if you're gonna, I'll say no for a second rounder. But then you got to go get that top four left side D, and I think that there's all kinds of opportunity for that.
Third round pick for sure. Second round pick I would do. A first round pick I would not. What would you do, or do you care? Do you let Toby Enstrom go in the expansion draft, or do you think Vegas would take him? Bombers make their cuts on Saturday. They now wait during the first week bye and will play in week two of the CFL season. Your thoughts on the Bombers lineup?
No big surprises outside of Kenny Stafford being released, and I just wonder where his head's at, right? You got a guy there with all kinds of talent, and you see this a lot when you're around there for a few years, the guys that just aren't willing to give what's necessary, right? They got all the tools in the toolbox, and whatever sits on top of their shoulders doesn't allow them to tap into it at a consistent level or where they're giving you what you need. So whatever the deal is with Kenny Stafford, maybe he finds that in Edmonton. Outside of that, no real surprises at all. The biggest surprise for me that developed over training camp was the apparent commitment that they've made here in Sam Hurrell being their starting middle linebacker. I think that's a real, real provocative decision on their part, and it's a position that I think you should be able to go find just an absolute beast to play middle linebacker for you south of the 49th parallel. Interesting decision with Sam Hurrell.
And, of course, also on the Boss Pizza fan line, the expansion lists are out. Vegas gets to pick 30 players from 673 available. How competitive do you think they will be now that you've seen the list? A lot to get to on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290, or text us at 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. Your calls, your texts next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
TSN1290, Alter Ego Sports, and Tim Hortons are proud to present the TSN1290 Street Team. Popping up at Winnipeg's best events all summer long will be at concerts, sporting events, charity events, and more. We'll be bringing our Spin to Win prize wheel to select events and giving you a chance to win great stuff like tickets to Bruno Mars or a Cannondale Quick Aid bicycle from Alter Ego Sports. Here's where you can find us in the next little bit. The Winnipeg Jazz Festival on now until June 25th. Ride, Don't Hide for the Canadian Mental Health Association on Sunday, June the 25th. The University of Winnipeg Westman Golf Tournament Thursday, June the 29th. For more information on these great events and the TSN 1290 Street Team, visit TSN1290.ca. Jim Tulth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki, and the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Are you surprised Toby Wenstrom waived his no move? What do you think it would take to keep him, or do you let him go? And the expansion list overall, how competitive do you think the National Hockey League with the Vegas Golden Knights will be? And, of course, the Blue Bombers made their cuts. What are your thoughts on the roster? And Mike Smith, Arizona Coyotes goaltender, goes to Calgary. Of course, goaltending still on the forefront for the Winnipeg Jets. Anything and everything on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Tim, you're kicking us off today on TSN 1290.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Craig Button was saying that he thought that possibly Vegas could select Enstrom and then flip him to another team at the trade deadline next year for a first round or something, that might be why they might take him. But wouldn't his no move snap back into effect after they took him?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
So then how could they do that? So I would think that might have bear into whether or not they would take him or not. And the other thing is, I think that Chevy just might have a deal in place already to where he's, you know, maybe they give him a Kosmachuk or something not to take him.
Well, I would, yes, his no trade does go into effect, but I would assume if Toby Enstrom is going to be an unrestricted free agent and Vegas, the thinking is, won't be in the playoff picture next year, that he would waive it again to go to a contending team and a shot at the Stanley Cup.
But why would he agree to do that knowing that if he said, no, I won't do that, then maybe Vegas won't take him. Then he can stay here.
Well, again, yeah, that's a possibility, but I don't know any NHL player who's on a non-playoff team. And some do, like Matt Sundin did with the Toronto Maple Leafs and stuff, but the thinking is that you could flip him for something else and that he would waive it again. He waived it once, and...
Well, he waived it because we've been good. The Jets have been good to him. They let him go off to settle his personal matters last year and whatnot. But does that mean that they'll do it for another team? For like just a couple of months, he may as well play out his contract and then go home.
Well, I think that's what he was sort of saying when he did waive it and said that he doesn't want to go to Vegas. He wants to stay here. But, okay. Tim, I'll ask you, if you're in Vegas, and the playoffs are around the corner and you're not in the playoffs and you're an unrestricted free agent and most likely going to go to the free market, would you like a chance to go to another team to play for the Stanley Cup, or would you just want to run out the season?
I don't know.
I think most people would want a chance to go to a playoff team.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's an interesting decision. Do you think he stays, or?
I think they probably have a deal in place for him to stay, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim. We appreciate it. Your thoughts on the Toby Enstrom and what you would do if he stays, if he goes, what you would pay to keep him, or do they let him walk? Is there something that can be worked out on the Boss Pizza fan line? 780-1290. You know, Tim brings up something interesting. We're considering a draft pick, and I don't know if it's Scott Kosmachuk per se, but the other thing Vegas is going to do is going to want some AHL players. So, like, we're always talking draft picks, draft picks, draft picks, and I get that. Like, a Toby Enstrom is going to get you a draft pick if you want to keep him. But the future of this is maybe some other side deals that you kick in or some guys that maybe literally are just for the American Hockey League team in depth for the organization. Like a Kosmachuk, who has played a couple of games in the show, didn't last year, but, you know, there's some depth issues here, too, coming up that maybe some prospects are going, you know, to the Vegas Golden Knights that maybe, like, if you're a contending team or another NHL team looking to sort of build for the future or just add assets. But if you're Vegas, you're going to literally need some guys that may specifically only play in the American Hockey League for you.
I suppose so. But you just, they're going to have such a boatload of opportunities for players and picks. It's really going to be wild to see how this whole thing settles. And not just for the direct, like we were talking about earlier this morning and with Craig Button, where it's not just, you know, the Jets, what they're doing with their exposed player. It's also if the Jets identify somebody that's unexposed on some other team and they want to talk to McPhee about trying to acquire them, having Vegas pick that player so the Jets can acquire them. And there's some real decent players out there.
Yeah.
With the Jets, their situation, that you would think that they would be highly motivated to possibly look into that along the lines of a Anti-Ranta or one of the left-handed defensemen that are available. So the wheeling and dealing here, the intensity of it for the Golden Knights and McPhee right now is just incredible.
I had that conversation with somebody on the weekend. They said, what do you mean? And I said, well, say perhaps the Flames or the Jets want Cody Eakin. And he's available in the expansion draft. You call Vegas and go, are you interested in Cody Eakin? And they're like, no. Well, if you pick him, mm-hmm. would you like this player in return?
Yep, yep.
And they sit there and go, yeah, this, we'd that, actually that. Like to get this yeah. player off you. And so then you, and I'm just throwing a name out there. Don't think I'm trading Armia, but it's that sort of thing of like, well, we think we don't have the depth here for this guy, so, but we'd love to get that guy. If you pick him, we'll swap this guy. Like, those are the deals that could be going on right now and are allowed to happen right now. Back
there
to the
could be piles of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Back to the Boss Pizza fan line at 780-1290. Who's next?
We'll get Hank to hold on, but let's go to Mike here.
Mike, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I got a question. How many first-round picks this year and next year do you think Vegas will have? I've got the bar set at 10.
You know what?
Reported they got 3 right now, I think, right?
Well, yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's the report.
3 others, not even including their own.
That's right, yeah.
So that's 4 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Between this year, next year, and the year after, it could be, it's minimum 10 in my mind.
Yeah, well, I've got 10 for this year and next year. I didn't even look for 2 years down the line because I don't think any other team, I don't think a team right now would do it 2 years down the line.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading anyway. And I've been saying this for a while. I have no idea, really. The things I read is they want to build through the draft and they want to get guys on 1 to 2 year contracts so that in a year or two, when those contracts are up, they can evaluate those players. Like a prime example is if they take Marco Dano. They want to take a guy like that because he's a very good young player. He has a 1 year deal, and then they can decide on what they do with him. If he comes in and they like him, they can give him a 3 year deal or they can, you know, trade him or whatever. But that's apparently the philosophy they have. And if that's the case, and I mean, not only 10 or 12 first round picks over the next 3 years, they might be willing to deal 2 or 3 of those in the next year or two or stuff too. Like, it's going to be fascinating.
Oh, it is. It's really going to be fascinating because other teams like Toronto, even Winnipeg, we're going to be sitting in the weeds looking to say, if you take this defenseman, we'll give you our first-round pick for him.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think they want to keep Toby or make a deal, or do you think they let him go in expansion draft? Do you think Vegas would take him?
I think they want to keep him. I personally would say, thank you, Toby. You've done well. Goodbye.
But you think they want to keep him and will try and work something out?
Yeah, I think they probably give a third-round pick for him.
Interesting. If you guys are Vegas, do you take that? You're sitting there looking at Marco Dano, and you go, I'll take a third-round pick to not take Toby. And you get Dano and a third-round pick. Is that enough to leave Toby Enstrom alone?
To me, it is, because you're talking about having access to thought, to a Colin Miller, to a Michael Stone, to a Trevor Van Reems. Like, there's a bunch of sort of mid-level D guys that it's a buffet for them.
And you're probably better off, if you're thinking of spending 1 year, $6 million on Toby, you're probably better off to spend $3 or $4 million on a three-year deal for Carl Alsner.
That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing, right? With Toby here, you're talking about a guy majorly diminishing at 32 years old by all indications over the last couple of years, and he's on contract for one final year. I know Craig Button's saying that, hey, you know, along the lines of the Martin Hanzus thing, maybe you can, you know, dish him off come the trade deadline. Look, they got a first-round pick for Hanzus. Who thinks that Toby's going to get that coming back? I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, let's look at the Pittsburgh situation. If Toby was in this situation this year when Ron Hainsey was, and you're the Penguins, do you take Hainsey or Enstrom?
I'm not sure which, but you're sure not going to get a first-round pick for him.
Given the price that they paid for Hainsey, which was a third-round pick and a prospect, right?
But some combination of that, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying that they're the same player or the same value. I'm just throwing numbers previous out there that maybe a team, you know, you get a third-round pick and a prospect for
Hainsey. Yeah, I think best-case scenario is a second-round pick for Toby at the deadline.
I agree.
That's best-case scenario, but I don't know. Like, if I'm Vegas, like Troy said there, there's a lot of – in the Anaheim defenseman, which we assume is Sammy Vatanen, not Josh Manson.
Yeah.
But you got to get some scoring and some offense. And Marco Dan, like, to get – like, there's not a lot of opportunity for them to take a forward in their early 20s that's, you know, albeit not at a super high level, but can score somewhat at the NHL level. Like, I think that's the play for Vegas here, is to take Marco Dano. Then it's going to be how much value can they get from Chevy in kind of a smokescreen about Toby Enstrom.
$850K for Dano is real attractive as well. Hey, Mike, we appreciate the call on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. You can also text us at 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Hank, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead.
Hi. I see this as an opportunity for the Winnipeg Jets to retool. The fact that Vegas is coming into the league provides a third team for three-way kind of trades. Given the fact that we have an abundance of assets, I think it's an opportunity. So would you rather give up an asset to hold on to Toby Enstrom, or would you rather have assets used to get a Mathot or an Alsner? A second option is, would we rather have Nolan Patrick here, who would bring much value to the Jets and the community, or would you rather hold on to Connor and Rostlovich? I'll hang up now and just hear what you guys have to say.
Thanks for the call, Hank.
So trying to trade, what, give away their 13th pick, Rostlovich and Connor for Nolan Patrick, I think is what you're asking.
I wouldn't do both.
I do like what you mentioned as far as taking into consideration whatever you give up to keep Toby, then sort of instead of doing that, using that, it's sort of whatever's in the bank there of what you can give away as an organization in pursuing a different top four D-man via trade somewhere in the NHL. I like that thought, and especially if you utilize that in talks with Vegas. And because there's also the possibility that Vegas doesn't take Toby, that they go with Dano instead. So it's a fantastic high-stakes game of poker going on here. But I like the thought of maintaining all the assets that you have in pursuit of a top four left D man instead of giving some of those away and saving Toby's spot here. Like, go be aggressive. Go get a guy. Go get a top four guy and see what Vegas does here between Enstrom and Dano.
It's all dependent on what the Jets value Enstrom at and what they're willing to do, regardless of the Enstrom thing. I still think they still go and acquire a top four left-handed D. And then
they had better, or Jets Nation will explode.
And then if you can hold on to Toby or let him go, that's either gravy. Way, I think that you still have to. Yeah, that's a bonus if you can do it. And then, you know, it comes full circle again, gentlemen. Do you think Vegas would take Enstrom?
I think it's a I really think it's a coin flip. Because you look at Marco Dano, guys, in his NHL career in 107 games played, averages 0.39 points per game. And he's a strong defensive player. So, and he's young. Like, you got all kinds of control over him. With Enstrom, you get a year. A guy that you dish off for a second-round pick or something along those lines. But, you know, what value? It just completely depends on the value. If they feel about Marco Dano the way Paul Maurice does, then no, they ain't taking Dano. But if they feel, if they're more along the analytics sort of community and what they value Marco Dano at, then you're darn right they're going to take him. So I really think, I don't know if it's a coin flip, like 50-50, but I think it's something along those lines.
I think it's a real, real tight call what they're going to do. And I agree with Troy where it's not so much, I think, what Vegas thinks of Enstrom. It's what they think of Dano. And if they think he can be, I don't know what you want to put on at a top six or a top nine forward, but if they think he can be a top six guy, then for them, it's no question. Like, there's just not that many of those kinds of players available to them in this expansion draft, and a guy that's under team control. So I don't know what you'd put the percentages at, but I think it's a lot more realistic than a lot of people are kind of giving credence to.
And regardless of how they feel about Dano, you make the Jets feel like you want Enstrom, and you sort of work something out. How it goes. It's real interesting. Hank, Mike, and Tim, thank you for the calls. We'll get to more of your calls and texts on the Boss Pizza fan line. 780-1290 next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Text 1290 with standard message rates may be applying. If you want to get in on the conversation here on The Big Show, TSN 1290, or give us a call, 780-1290. Could list all the things we're talking about, but there are too many. Bombers lineup, cuts were made, Toby Enstrom, what the Jets should do, expansion draft, surprise at who's on the list, U.S. Open, lots, anything and everything on the Boss Pizza fan line. Once again, 780-1290 on The Big Show. Alan, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, I've been like pretty much losing sleep for a year over this expansion draft. When Toby Enstrom waved that thing, I was just like, I was thinking for sure Armia, Lowry, like even Kopp was gone. So the fact that they could protect them is just amazing to me.
Yeah, I am real surprised he waved. I know that Troy and Brandon were saying that that's what they would do and try to get him to, but to be honest, I'm surprised he waved.
Yeah, there's no way I would have, personally. Like, I would have been like, well, that's too bad. Continue on my year. But I also want to say, looking at that protection list is absolutely fantastic. And honestly, after Dano signing that one contract, I think the deal's already done, knowing Chevy and that. So, because I think he's just one of the best GMs in the NHL that we got right now. We're lucky to have him. But I'll let you talk about that. And all right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alan. So Alan is saying that he feels that the $850,000 one-year deal for Dano was put in place specifically to potentially Vegas was taking him and maybe there's a pick involved in that already that was part of the deal that why they signed him, or maybe that Vegas just said we're not interested in Toby.
Yeah, well, you want to sign him right to have him be eligible for one of the guys, right? So that was an important part here. So yeah, you know, it's the wheeling and dealing, it's infinite, right? It's almost like just making up trades during the course of a regular season when people call us and say, hey, how about this player to there, and you name a couple players. Like, anything can happen here. This is a super cool thing, and it's all about to go down. Like, we don't have very long to wait to find out how all this shakes down. It's like, how many hours of sleep right now is McPhee and his crew getting?
Somebody in Vegas's job, and maybe several people's, is literally to write down everything that's been offered. Like, imagine the conversations he and Kelly McCrimmon and other staff members would, and I would presume it's just those two, the general management, Just like, okay, I talked to this team
constantly
about this
on the
and
phone.
This.
Yeah.
Or and sometimes you'd get off the phone and go, I talked to, I don't know, the Islanders, and these are the five different
crazy
proposals
yeah.
they had, and you'd have to keep track of that and then propose some other stuff to other teams and come back. I agree. Alan, thanks for the call. Ron, you're on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So I really like the way Vegas is going about doing their business. It shows good faith where they're going to phone each team and tell them exactly what player that they're interested in taking, and then maybe consummating a deal after that. I like that the last caller talking about the Dano situation, and I agree that I think that that contract was signed solely for making a deal with Vegas. I think that deal might be in place. I don't know. We don't know. but the question I had is, I forget what day it was that the NHL trade freeze was on. What day was that, guys?
Saturday, I believe.
Saturday, okay. So now Vegas can deal with any other team right now, and every other team cannot do anything until what date? So like, what are we looking at?
Vegas can deal with teams. Other teams can't deal with each other. So if Calgary and Winnipeg wanted to talk, they can't. But if Calgary wanted to talk to Vegas and Winnipeg wanted to talk, anybody can talk to Vegas.
Right.
They just can't trade amongst themselves.
Okay, so when does that – when is it where every other team can deal with trades?
I believe it's sometime on Wednesday. Like once the team's announced, there's where the freeze is over.
All right. Okay. Hey, great job, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Have a good one.
Take care, man.
Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it. We'll get more of your calls, more of your texts when we come back on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 and Robertson College present Manitobaville. We're awarding $25,000 to put towards a project that enhances one special Manitoba community. To enter, rally friends and family in your community and make a video about your hometown. Tell us how $25,000 can make it an even better place to live. Is there something your community needs? Is there an existing project that requires more money? Can it enhance tourism in the lives of people who stay there? Simply record a video telling us about how your hometown would spend $25,000 and send it to us at tsn1290.ca before noon on Friday, July 14th. 10 finalists will be revealed on Monday, July 24th. Then the public will vote for a winner to receive the $25,000. Manitobaville, make your hometown even prouder. Presented by Robertson College and proudly supported by Chicken Chef, Star Ready to Move Homes, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Merrick Contractors. For more info and official rules and regs, visit tsn1290.ca. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki, and your calls and your texts on the Boss Pizza fan line. Text 129090. Of course, if you pay for texts, you will have to for that as well. And, of course, 780-1290 on the Boss Pizza fan line. Dean, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey, thanks, man. We appreciate both.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I got 2 points, and then I'll hang up. One, I'm still on this this goalie situation, and I'm thinking about Fleury. And I know he's expensive in 2 years, but just the impact he has with Hellebuyck and in the dressing room, those kind of things, and what the top six, top nine guys, that just the feeling they would have knowing that Fleury's there. And so I wanted to talk about that. Also, I haven't heard a lot about Brendan Lemieux. Is he close or what? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dean. For Marc-Andre Fleury, the last report I read, which was on the weekend, says that he wants to stay in Vegas. Like, he has a no move as well. So once Vegas does select him, he has to waive it again to be traded. And the report I read where he's more than happy to stay in Vegas is looking forward to moving there and being a part of this organization for the next 2 years and potentially beyond. So whether that changes, I'm not sure. But the last report I read about Marc-Andre Fleury was he's more than happy to go to Vegas, but he's staying in Vegas.
Man, if you're going to – there are some high-quality goaltenders available. Why you'd want to go and pursue a guy who is – even though he's shone during the playoff run here and his contribution to the Penguins, why you wouldn't go after a Ranta or a Grubauer in this situation if you're the Jets would be of great question to me. I would go hard after Antti Raanta if I were the Jets here. And then, of course, the question that you asked about Lemieux, is he ready? Well, you got 130 penalty minutes, so from a discipline standpoint, is he ready? I'm not so sure. And you want a guy that's an agitator, but you got to be smart out there. And then 19 points in 61 games, I don't know what that translate to either as far as contributing to production.
He had a really bad injury and is going to take the offseason. He's still recovering from that, from what I've been told around the Manitoba Moose. And if he's ready or not, it doesn't seem like he's ready for the National Hockey League this upcoming season. Where that goes from there, still the potential is there, but it seems to me like if he's back healthy, it looks like he'll be going to training camp. But unless something major happens, it looks like he'll be starting the season with the Manitoba Moose. But you never know at camp, but that's the latest as the season ended.
Isn't the question, when you think about the Moose and potential guys to stick and stay, the question is Kyle Connor ready? Does he get you 20 or 25 goals this year? If he does, look the freak out for the Jets offense.
Whoa. I thought this was going to be a...
Right? Like, if he's going to get you 20-25 this year, look out for the offense.
Yeah, look, it was one game at the end of the year, but all indications are, as the American Hockey League season wore on, that he is going to be one of the guys fighting for a spot. I know I didn't know if you were going to get freaked out.
One day I might slip.
I'm kind of freaking out myself. What are we talking about, and where am I? But anyway, so I don't know if he's ready or not, per se, but he looks to be as close as you can get. It'll be a training camp decision, but I think he potentially comes in and makes the team.
And I'll tell you what, it may have just been one game at the end of the year, true, but there's no question, night and day, Kyle Connor in game 82 mm-hmm. versus Kyle Connor in the first 19, it looked like a different player. Now, I don't know how productive he would be if he was in the NHL all season long, but wouldn't surprise me at all to see him crack the top nine, and where he suits up, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing him with Scheifele and Wheeler, to be honest with you, but I think he could be a pretty impactful player for the Jets this season, and the way he tore up the AHL kind of in the second half of that year, it doesn't seem like he's destined to go down a level this year. It seems like it's big club or bust for him.
And I only saw three Moose games, but each one I saw, he looked like a man out there amongst boys.
Yeah.
Offensively, for sure.
And his confidence, a big thing. Like, that's just the physicality of the game is what stood out to me in the confidence, but it looked different as the season wore on. I also hear that they plan on using him on the first power play and not Line A. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, I was in the middle of
a Monday joke.
My Tim Hortons coffee there, but I just about spit it out.
That was the time we weren't going to get the freak. What the freak? It was going to be a little like, I'm kidding, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Dean, we appreciate the call on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Who's next?
We'll get Bud and Jeff DeHane on, but let's go to Mark.
Mark, you're on the big show. Go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Actually, quick bomber talk, then I'll get off. Just noticing on the release list for the practice roster for Toronto, you know if there's any interest on Winnipeg regarding Foster? I think it's Evan Foster. That'd be the Winnipeg, the Bison guy that was out there, the
defensive lineman.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I covered him when he played at the Bisons, and I saw that he was, I believe he was with Hamilton, wasn't he, the draft? Or no, he was drafted.
The Argos drafted him in the third round, I believe.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So I'm not sure. I don't know how his camp went. And the fact that they kept him on the practice roster, it looks like they have some interest in him. You're talking about going out and acquiring him?
Well, why not offer him to come to, you think he might be interested in coming to Winnipeg, a homegrown, and even be on our practice roster, never mind being in Toronto.
He's an end, though, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, you better be spectacular. Like a defensive end. As a Canadian, you got to be spectacular out there. You wonder. Maybe they will. Maybe a PR just to see if he can develop. I'm not sure. Good question. Let's hope so, right? Manitoba is born in Chilliwack, but went to school here. So let's hope, man. Let's hope they give him a chance.
You can't just pluck him off the practice roster, can you, another team? Or you can. That's
you
how
can,
it works?
Yeah,
because he is on the practice roster. Right, yeah. I don't know how his camp went, Mark. And as Troy said, I think that the Bombers are sort of solid there right now. It'll be interesting to see how his season goes, though, for sure.
Well, the way our defense was last game, looks like anyone could really fit in nowadays.
Yeah, that's what seems to be the big concern, not only on this show, but as we continue to talk about it. What are your thoughts on the Bombers, and where do they finish?
Just seeing our middle, what's the name, Hurl out there is making me sick. I'm picturing, just like Troy had mentioned before, watching Messam just steamroll him, and he's not showing anything, even that last exhibition game. Like, that's the quarterback of our defense, and that's what's going to lead us. We're in trouble. I think we'll make the playoffs at least on a crossover. But other than that, I can't see us finishing last, but the defense, if we shore up the defense, I could see us maybe going in.
And what adds to the concern, like what you're touching on there, is that the Sam Hurl, the run D when he was in at middle linebacker was poor. And then for their lead back, Edmonton's lead back, to average 8.8 yards per carry in the first half when Hurl was in there, it's an interesting move by them. They're seeing something there, so I hope that they're right. But I think all Bomber fans, there's going to be a lot of apprehension on July 1st if Sam Hurl's in the middle there. He's going to have to prove that he's ready to go to a lot of Bomber fans.
I think they really thought they had more out of Knox and the other guy there. They weren't even thinking that Sam Hurl was going to be their main guy. And that's otherwise, they would have put the money into Leggett and kept him, and never mind these other two.
Well, it's not only that, Mark, but I think it's the cap that sort of, they were hoping Knox would pan out and they'd have Hurl as a backup, I think. And I don't think it's working out to what they wanted. I don't know if they'll say that or not, or maybe it is in their mind. I don't know. But I think the cost of everything, because they did look at Bear Woods and it was just too much. And you look at the money they have in certain guys now. You know, Matt Nichols got a raise. It's the cap issue, I think, is what is preventing them from going out and fixing every single position, and that's the one that stands out. I think the cap room had a lot to do with who's playing middle linebacker right now.
Ooh.
You don't think so?
No way, man. Because you're talking, what you're paying Sam Hurl is, I guarantee it's more than some rookie American stud. To me, like, middle linebacker, I know there's brains, like, you got to be a thinker. That's the quarterback of the defense, right? But, man, I would think that you could go find just an absolute stud. You got all of America to go through. Go find someone that's too fitty, too, like, just a big beast inside there to dominate and really take over the game. Although I know that you need to have the head on your shoulders to be thinking the Canadian game and all the rest of it, but it's an interesting decision here. They've got, and especially because of the precarious situation, just the state of the defense and all the question marks coming into the season for Richie Hall and Mike O'Shea, right? So it's a gutsy decision to have Hurl there. Let's just hope that he steps up here, but he's got a lot to prove.
I think they're pretty up against the cap, aren't they? I'll look that up to make sure. Hey, great call, Mark. We appreciate it. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Bud.
The thing about the CFL, you can't look it up.
Right? Yeah, that's the problem.
A crappy thing with the CFL. They dropped the ball massively when talking about having stats out there that helps shows like us and the fans generate all kinds of conversation, right? They should have a superior amount of stats and availability to contracts, all that sort of stuff, because all it does is help shows like us talk more and adds interest and excitement to the fan base.
It's the same with the American Hockey League and how they, like, you can't track ice times, you can't, stuff like that as well. I agree. Mark, we appreciate the call. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on the Big Show. Bud, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I've got to give praise to Chevy for the guys that he protected. And I think he's obviously setting up Dano to be picked by the Golden Knights, just with the contract. I think that's the guy that they'd be best taking, too. It looked like Enstrom did this just to help out as far as waiving his no-trade clause. I would think they're going to ride Toby Enstrom right out of the contract, and he'll go back to Europe. He'll retire as a Jet, right? You know, you look at it that way. The question I've got for you guys, are you guys going to be happy with Hallebuck and Comrie as the two goalies for this coming season? Because Hutch will go to the Moose.
Yeah, I don't know if Comrie's going to be here. Yeah. And I think if Comrie isn't going to be the starter, I think they want to give him as many games as they can back back with the Manitoba Moose. So if Hutchinson isn't selected, I would presume he's back here. But I still think, as we've discussed for months, that they're looking at bringing another veteran goalie in.
There's just too many guys out there. It would be something beyond shocked if there's not a an established guy here to complement Connor Hellebuyck and for this season at the very least.
And I'll tell you what, too, if there's an, I mean, we saw the Mike Smith trade take out Calgary in the market for a starting goalie. I mean, if Ronta or Grubauer get moved to another team too, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you look at a guy like Steve Mason, yeah. who's had some pretty good play over the past three or so years. He's the guy that won't have a lot of options and won't really get to pick out a starting role. And all of a sudden, Winnipeg situation here where, yeah, you got to battle Connor Hellebuyck, but if you're confident in yourself and,
yeah.
you think you can beat him, mm-hmm. there's a very good chance you're starting for a playoff team next year.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, Bud, on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Jeff, you're on the program. Go ahead. Hi, Jeff. Jeff is gone. We are gone, too. We'll take a break and take more of your calls and get some texts if we have any at 1290-90 or the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
What's worse, me mispronouncing that winner's name today, which I apologize for once again, or Joe Buck calling Brooks Koepka's girlfriend by the wrong name?
I'm going to go with Buck because he got Koepka in a lot of trouble.
Thank you.
That's the old, you're doing nothing, you're minding your own business, next thing you know, your girl's mad at you, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I don't even think the U.S. Open can smooth that one
no.
over. Like, it might buy you an extra day, but...
She looked all happy publicly and taking the pictures with the trophy and stuff, but look out once you get in the car.
Thank you. Doesn't make what I did any better. But.
Something rhymes real good with Buck, too, just to drive the point home that much more.
TSN 1290 and Robertson College present the return of the 10K Summer Selfie. We have $10,000 in cash prizes to award to select selfie takers across Manitoba, and you could be one of the recipients. To enter, take a really good selfie at some point during the summer and post it before Thursday, August 31st, to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram using the hashtag 10K Summer Selfie. Selfie of the Summer, presented by Robertson College, could win you $5,000. Best Animal Selfie, presented by Assiniboia Park Zoo, could win you $1,000. Other $1,000 selfies are Best Food and Drink Selfie, presented by Booster Juice. Best Hair Selfie, presented by Aura Hair Group. Best Outdoor Selfie, presented by Lacoste Garden Center. And Best Smile Selfie, presented by Toddlers to Teens. For more information, visit TSN1290.ca. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Rocky, you're on the Big Show. TSN 1290, go ahead.
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hey, hi. With regards to the Jets, in terms of this year and with everything that's going on here upcoming, I think depending on what happens with respect to with Chevy and whether he addresses the deficits that that they've shown over the past 2-3 years with Maurice in charge and power play, and well, power play's improved a little bit, but discipline and penalty kill. Just overall defensive play and goaltending. So, I mean, I'm hopeful that things are going to go well. But if he sits on his hands and doesn't do too much, then I can't really say I'm going to be optimistic if players and coaches don't change. But other than that, I mean, I'm hoping that he addresses some of the obvious areas that are looking at that we need. And with respect to the my question is with respect to the expansion draft, Enstrom or Dano, et cetera. Don't you think that, would you not think, I mean, it's a possibility that they don't even know yet who they're taking, because who knows? They have to take a look. If I'm George McPhee, I would tend to think that I would have to look at the overall body of what's available as opposed to individually, like, let's say, looking at the Jets, who's better, Dano or Enstrom. I think... Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think that they'd have to look at, okay, who's available from all the other teams and all the other, you know, on if they have 10 defensemen, they may not pick Enstrom. But if they only have 4, then that might be an obvious way to go.
For sure, yeah. They'd have all kinds. Like, yeah. Imagine their option charts and how they'd be flowing. Like, their flow charts must be remarkable with the options that way.
Yeah, it'd be like, you tend to think it'd be like a triage and, you know, an emergency room and different. Yeah, you're exactly right. Okay, if this happens, then, yeah. You know,
Yeah. And I think, you know, even if they don't want Enstrom, they're never going to tell the Jets that. I think that you sit there and you let them think that you do. And maybe this has all been discussed and it's all part of the down thing. But I agree with you. I think even if they want, they could.
But they're saying, JT, that they are going to contact teams, letting them know who they're interested in to see what teams are willing to. So if George McPhee is a man of his word and has a good, solid reputation, they're not going to be trying to screw people around or nothing like that.
No.
But say, hey, this is who we want. Now, what do you want to do to try and get us to pick somebody else?
But along those lines, you're not going to call Kevin Cheveldayoff and go, well, we want Marco Dano. And he goes, okay.
Oh, sorry.
When you could potentially get something for.
Well, but if that's who they want, that's it. Right, I guess I think you're
fair enough. I get what you're saying because you're going to want to. George McPhee has a great reputation already.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to snow guys over. Yeah. I get what you're saying, but are you literally just going to contact the Jets and go, "We're going to take Marco Dano. Do you want to give us anything for him?" And they say no, and you're like, "Okay," and then you just take Dano, and Enstrom just goes through.
Because how there's so many wheeling and dealings. I think they would really dearly appreciate something simple. Like, hey, this is who we're interested in. Okay, great, bam, hang up the phone, call team number two, right? Hang up the phone, call team number three, and then all the other things coming into play.
If I was McPhee, and maybe that's why I don't have a good reputation, I don't know what my reputation is, but I sit there and I go, look, these are the eight guys we're going to grab on defense. We're happy with these guys. We're good. It does not include Toby Enstrom. I'm still picking up the phone and going, if we take Toby, what would you like to give us for him? Do you want to keep him? And if they go, no, we don't want to keep Toby.
Yeah,
go,
but
okay,
you're playing
Dano.
But if you're playing poker with what you're saying there, man, and you're leaving it like you don't. If I'm Cheveldayoff, I'm not biting on what you're saying because you're leaving it wide open. Like you're holding me hostage.
You're getting Dano anyway. If you want Dano, you're getting him anyway.
Well, sure, but if you're taking Dano from Chevy's standpoint, JT, if you're taking Dano, then I'm not wasting a second or third round pick and protecting Toby.
But that's what I'm saying. Why would you just call and go, we're taking Dano, do you want to keep him? Well, and they go, no, and you just let it sit like that. Well, when you could sit there and go. And the other thing I think McPhee is doing is going, we're not taking Enstrom, Tampa Bay, but are you interested in him? And if you are interested in him and we do take him, what will you give us? And then you got to call Chevy back and go, we're not interested in, but somebody else is, and we want a second round pick to not take him. And then you call Tampa back and go, we're getting a second-round pick to not take him? Will you give us a first-round to take him?
I just don't think that's the direction of that call. I don't think Vegas would have the time to be calling teams to see, ask, hey, if we pick this guy, are you guys interested in it? I think those teams that are interested in those players that are unexposed right now are calling Vegas. I don't think that there's a shortage of teams calling them saying, hey, we can get Mark Mathot. This is what we'd like to offer you for him if you guys pick him. I think it's much more that direction. Nonetheless, it's just, this is fantastic. The NHL, this is a home run.
I do agree what you're not going to do reputation-wise is say we're not taking Toby, then the draft comes and you take him.
Yeah.
I think reputation-wise you're not going to do that. But it, as George has said, so fascinating. We appreciate all your participation today, the calls, the texts, everything else, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Going to be a big week here on TSN 1290. Of course, Husser and Paul Edmonds are going to be at the draft. They'll be broadcasting their live, Husser will, from Thursday in Chicago. We have the expansion draft on Wednesday we'll get to, of course, and break it all down for you throughout the programming day. Kevin Olszewski of CTV is up today at 11, filling in for Rick Ralph on the Don Vito Roundtable. And before we go, we have a pair of tickets to the Winnipeg Jets draft party this Friday at the Club Region Event Center. 780-1290, 780-1290. We'll give you a pair of tickets to the draft party this Friday night at the Club Region Event Center. On behalf of Troy Wester, Brandon Rewicki, and myself, Jim Toth, we thank you for listening to The Big Show. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 on TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.